declined comment. Syrian protesters gathered at the funeral of a man they say was killed by forces loyal to President Assad. This man says the Syrian people just want to be free.
Bashar al-Assad is killing us only because we want to be like you.
The doomsday clock, a symbol of how close some scientists think the world is to global disaster, has been reset. Allison McFarland is chair of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists Science and Security Board. And she says the clock has moved up by 1 minute.
The doomsday clock. It is now 5 minutes to midnight.
The scientists say things have gotten worse because of inadequate progress on reducing the spread of nuclear weapons. Penn State quarterbacks coach Jay Paterno has resigned from the university's football program after meeting with the school's new coach. His resignation comes 2 months after his father, Joe Paterno, was fired over the sexual abuse scandal that came to light in November. Penn State named New England Patriots offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien as the new head coach. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
We all see the ads on TV. Some new gadget at a great price. Then, wait, for a limited time, get two gadgets for pennies more. And oh yes, there's an extra handling fee. Ah, watch out for that handling fee. Some people are like those gadgets and their extra charges. Good on the job, a workplace value. But in the break room, one-on-one, their immaturity, insecurity, or rudeness undoes the good they do. In other words, some people come with a high handling fee. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Good work is step one. But how well do we work with others? Skip the handling fee in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
When you hear Toyota, you may think of import cars. Of course, for years now, many Toyotas sold in the U.S. also have been U.S. made. But now the company appears willing to take the next step. At the Detroit Auto Show, the president of Toyota North America telling reporters the company wants to begin exporting large numbers of cars made in the U.S. and Canada to other countries. Already, Camrys made in Kentucky are exported to South Korea. Several big banks, including Citi, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo, are under the hot lights again. Regulators with the state of New York investigating whether the banks overcharged customers on a type of home insurance known as force place. That's when an issuer buys a policy after a homeowner fails to keep up with payments. The policy's costs are passed on to the homeowner. Modest gains for most overseas markets. U.S. stock futures are near flat. S&P futures right now right near break-even. NASDAQ futures down 1. Dow futures up 3. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
We want to know. How do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Jay Farner here. Happy New Year from Quicken Loans. Do you want to get a jump start on your finances for 2012? We close a majority of our home loans in 30 days or less, so you can purchase a new home or save money by refinancing and wrap up those New Year's resolutions in record time. Here's the best part. Interest rates are still historically low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.875%, APR 4.17%. And we're proud to announce that for the second year in a row, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the United States. That rate again is 3.875%, APR 4.17%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 30.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. And it does, change does begin right here every single day, just about this time. And happy to be with you this morning. I am Tony Trupiano. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Give you an idea of what we've got coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got, a very busy 7 o'clock hour today. Professor Aaron Perzanowski will be joining us to talk about some Internet piracy laws that have been proposed that you need to know about, number one. Number two, what the effect of them would, the not effect of them would be on our access to information on the Internet and why you should probably not want them to happen. But we'll get to that at 7:05, 7:35. We will check in with Grant Bossy, who was with us yesterday from New Hampshire's watchdog.org, get an update on the New Hampshire primary. Of course, the results are in. I mean, we know the results, but we'll get into some in-depth detail with Grant Bossy at 7:50, of course. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift, and after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson, editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, will be joining us. Amongst the things we'll be talking about today with Mr. Henderson will be the new newly proposed light rail project at Al. So there's a there is a lot to get to, but let's go ahead and get this puppy going.
Before you punch in for your First Shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is evaluate. It's always good to evaluate what we're going to do. Even if you think that you already know, hey, this is what we need to do, you need to evaluate it for its many parts and how they all fit together, and do they help us accomplish ultimately whatever the goal is. Evaluate is something that all of us should probably do a whole lot more of instead of just wholesale biting off more than we can chew. Or thinking because we know the outcome will be X if we do Y, does that mean we don't need to evaluate? No, we do. Due diligence is important, and to evaluate anything is to be responsible. And in this day where we have a certain lack of responsibility, especially in politics, I think we can safely say that it's important that we evaluate everything, including the candidates that we're voting for, maybe especially the candidates we're voting for. And I would ask you to evaluate what we do on this program every single morning and hold us accountable as well. So our first word today is evaluate. And as we do at this time every day, we take a little look at the world of sports, and not hard to evaluate on the professional side of things, things that didn't go too well last night. But let's bring Jeff Redford back into the show and wish him a good morning. And it's great to have you with us again, Jeff.
Oh, well, thank you. Good morning.
You know, if you're a Pistons fan, next year is probably what you're looking forward to. If you're a Red Wings fan, last night was nothing to be proud of. If you're a Michigan State fan, of course, they've won now 15 in a row. But from the professional side of things, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, Red Wings will lose every now and then, but last night was especially tough.
5-1.
Yeah, yeah. To the Islanders.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
It is what it is. We have to deal with it.
Michigan State, big win.
Yes.
And I was more into college basketball last night than the Red Wings or Pistons, really.
Pistons are just in bad shape. If people would like to get a little, I think a nice reality injection this morning. Michael Rosenberg's column in today's Detroit Free Press talks about their attendance and the reality, the honesty. He feels like the Pistons are being strikingly honest because you can manipulate attendance numbers. It's easy to do that in professional sports because it could be, you know, you can actually report tickets sold as opposed to people actually attending because there is a difference between the two. Always a difference between the two, and he says that the Gorey's team is not taking the high road and is looking at it realistically. Just over 10,000 people at the Palace last night. Obviously, when you know that's not even half full. That's got to look awfully empty to the players, I would think, Jeff.
Oh, are you kidding? A friend of mine actually works at our sister station, DFN. Was up there in the Palace reporting and actually took a picture. He climbed up to the top, you know, and took a picture of the entire bowl area, middle of the first quarter. You know, so by then you would think, that there's enough people.
Yeah, most people are going to be there, right.
Well, you know, the Palace has been famous for its late arriving crowds, but I mean, middle of the first quarter is kind of, you know, a little late to be even be still coming in. And it looked like, I mean, I've seen high school championship games have more attendance, which I don't even know how to describe it. I've never seen that many empty seats unless you're talking about like a half hour after a Pistons game when everyone's leaving already. That's how empty it looked.
Yeah. You know, again, it's that's something they're just going to have to deal with because they're not going to have a good year. And ultimately, unless you're coming to watch the other team, whoever the visiting team is, and last night, you know, might have been the, you know, you would have thought, the Mavericks in town, people would want to see them. Not so much.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not even during the bad years for some teams, you get draw. Like the Tigers, when they were really bad, you'd still get decent crowds for when the Yankees came to town or some, you know,
right.
For the other team. But people in this area are so fed up with the NBA striking and the fact that the Pistons aren't any good. It doesn't matter who comes here. I wonder if when the Lakers get here, because there is a large Laker contingency in Detroit or in Michigan, I guess, which I didn't know until, you know, recently when Kobe showed up and they started chanting MVP. But it'd be interesting to see how much they draw.
Oh, we'll find out soon enough. It's just, you know, again, it's if you're a Pistons, if you're a traditional Pistons fan and you long for the days of yore, keep longing because it's going to be at least another year before they pick up enough talent to be competitive. And they're not competitive. There's no question. And their two victories are looking more like aberrations than anything else at this point. Again, I said yesterday, and I'll repeat it, I don't think they're going to win 15 games this year. Oh, by the way, the Pistons are the last in attendance in the league this year. And stop and think about how bad some of the markets are for basketball in this country. And for the Pistons to be, I mean, rock bottom last, that says something.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. But what does it say?
It says that they really suck. I mean, that's what it says.
Yeah, but
there's no reason to get emotionally, you know, to be a fan of a team, you're emotionally invested. There's no reason to be emotionally invested in this team. Who are you emotionally invested with? Who?
Well, you mean players-wise?
Yeah, I mean, it's about the players.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like I said, there's only two reasons. One reason, really, for me to watch a game, and I'm talking about turning it down on TV, and I'm not going up there unless I get sent there. But it's Brandon Knight. I think the kid's exciting. And now Greg Monroe's starting to play a little bit. You build around those two guys. But that means that when the trade deadline hits, start peeling off some of these pieces. You know, I still think the trade value of some of these guys, especially come trade deadline, that you got to get what you can. And, you know, that's how I view it anyways. Because you can do exactly what you're doing right now without those guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can still suck without having to pay the top guys that you should have on your roster.
And that's why re-signing Tayshaun Prince to a four-year deal for $24 million made literally no sense at all.
That one I'm fine. I'm okay with. It's the Stucky one that I don't get at all.
Well, I don't either.
And either one of them, I think you can ship both of them out for anything. Like, you know, a can of corn. It's a can of corn you didn't have yesterday, you know? That's why if you just let them walk, you don't get anything. I would hope at least. I mean, look, that's why it's so baffling last year that you could have gotten a first-round draft pick if you sent Tayshaun to Dallas. Why wasn't that move made?
That's a great question. Well, but see, that might have been the Karen Davidson thing, and we don't know. We weren't in the room, so I'm going to...
But if that's the case, then why re-sign him in the... there's a lot of loyalty here towards Tayshaun Prince.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I really don't get that, because I feel like... It's not like I don't feel like Tayshaun doesn't have merit. He does. I just don't think that he's going to help us any longer. So send him somewhere where he can help a team, and let us start rebuilding, whether that's draft picks or... You know, even a marginal player, but let him go. I mean, why did you hold on to him? Was it purely a emotional decision? I don't get it, Jeff.
I hope it's because you're trying to keep a little capital invested. You know, you didn't get rid of him. You can't just let him walk because you don't get anything. Caron Butler signed a deal for more money. Grant Hill signed a one-year deal for a little less money. But, I mean, you're talking about a younger guy who's a vet who could help a team and has a reasonable contract. I know people in Detroit don't think that, but other markets were trying to sign Tayshaun. He actually signed for a little less to stay here than what I heard some other teams were offering, which I guess then is a little dishonest of you.
Why would Tayshaun want to be here?
It's where he's grown up. And think about this. Why would Tayshaun want to be here?
Yeah.
Because the loyalty that you've shown, I mean, you have not traded him at the deadline. You made it a priority to sign him, to re-sign him, for him to stay here. He has a lot of pull in that locker room and in the building.
I guess. I just, you know, if I'm Tayshaun Prince, ultimately it's a business. And, listen, he's getting a nice paycheck. You're right. He's getting a nice paycheck, so whatever. And we may find at the trade deadline he's no longer Detroit Piston. In fact, I'm praying that he's no longer a Detroit Piston. I don't get it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. A lot to get to in this hour. You're always invited to join us. Anything on your mind that you would like to share, feel free. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. That's TRUPIANO. A quick break. And First Shift will continue. Thanks for punching in this early morning. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW right after we do this.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got an accident out there, 275 northbound after Ford Road. It's on the right shoulder. Minimal delays getting around that. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast from the National Weather Service. Slight chance of showers, increasing clouds all day. A high near 47, though. Tonight, rain mainly after 7 p.m., a low around 37. Then tomorrow, rain changing to snow, cloudy, a high near 42. Right now it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Handler.
And I'm Whitney Cummings. Beginning tonight, my show Whitney moves to Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central.
Followed by my new show, Are You There, Chelsea?, which stars Laura Pepon as me.
Ooh, from that 70s show.
Yeah, we know.
So, Chelsea, you're not playing yourself? Why not?
Why don't you ask Laura?
Well, I'm playing Chelsea because the network wanted someone younger.
I thought it was because of my take on Casual Friday.
Oh, you mean Bottomless Friday?
No, that's the one.
Yeah, that didn't help your case.
Whitney and Are You There, Chelsea? The NBC Wednesday Happy Hour begins tonight on NBC.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
That's not the next cold front. That's top-rated heating and air conditioning equipment blowing out of our warehouse during Service Expert's huge winter clearance sale. Save big on brand-new, high-efficiency equipment. Air conditioners as low as $27 per month. Furnaces from $39 per month. Call Service Expert's Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS, also known as Bryant Heating and Cooling Service Experts. Hurry, sale ends February 29th. Visit serviceexperts.ca for finance details.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Yep. It is the 11th day of January of the year 2012. This evening, I have my first Whatever It Takes meeting at UAW Local 174 of the year. Looking forward to that. Our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day, in conjunction with no one, but of course, New Hampshire primaries were yesterday. Mitt Romney wins. So here's the question of the day. Just go over to Facebook, search for First Shift if you don't know where to find us on Facebook. When you get there, you're going to see the poll question, which says Mitt Romney wins fairly big in New Hampshire. Are you now assuming he will be the Republican nominee for the presidency? Yes, it's over. With this group of candidates, anything can still happen. And no, there's lots of territory to cover yet. Those are the responses as of now. We've had a few people vote, so there you go. Just go over on over to Facebook and check that out. We're going to get to some audio here in just a minute as we take a look at the New Hampshire primary, and then at 7:35 we'll be checking in with Grant Bossy with Watchdog New Hampshire's Watchdog.org, who was with us yesterday morning to preview the primary. We'll do a little post analysis as well with Grant Bossy at 7:35. Well, yesterday as well in this time, we spoke about Mayor Janice Daniels, the Mayor Troy, and she's found herself in a little hot water. Now, we're going to play a little audio from Channel 7 Action News, WXYZ TV. It's actually a little bit of an update because the article that we had referenced in yesterday's Detroit Free Press said that, and I think this is an important distinction to make, and it actually goes in Mayor Janice Daniels' favor to some degree. There has been a little bit of a recantation from the Gay Straight Alliance at Troy High School, who originally said that Mayor Daniels had said that she was going to bring in psychologists that would show that being gay was a mental illness. Now they're saying that the psychologist would say being gay is dangerous. There's, of course, a big difference between the two. Nonetheless, Mayor Daniels, in the way that she can only do, makes a situation that doesn't have to be bad a whole lot worse. This is what happens. Pay attention to this.
A member of the Gay Straight Alliance at Troy High School says that Mayor planned to bring an expert in to talk to an anti-bullying and suicide prevention forum and tell them that homosexuality is a mental illness. Now, the mayor denied saying that, telling a newspaper, quote, "What I said is that there's a higher incidence of overall disease in the homosexual community." 7 Action News reporter Julie Bonavich is live at City Hall, where she tried asking the mayor about those controversial comments. But first, Julie, I understand the students are backing off a little bit tonight on their criticism.
Stephen, they are. Just a little bit, though. Not totally. Let's look at a statement that one of them issued to me, the one that had made the initial remarks. And Sky Curtis says, I've been informed that she, in fact, told us that the psychiatrist would testify that the homosexual lifestyle is dangerous. Even though she may not have used the exact term mental disease, I'm still pretty disturbed by her words, especially in light of last month's events. And last month's event was when the mayor posted on her Facebook account a gay slur. She admitted to it, apologized to it, talked to us then, but tonight she didn't want to talk, and she ran from our cameras.
You have to stand outside.
This man says he's a citizen, and the man in red blocking Troy Mayor Janice Daniels from our camera says he's her friend.
And tell the people of Troy what you said or what you did not say.
She doesn't want to talk to you about it.
She's an elected official, though.
And Mayor Daniels did invite the public to come to her open office hours at the Troy Community Center.
Mayor, can you just tell us what you did or did not say?
I did not say what that girl said I said.
Then what did you say?
I said...
But she refused to answer. You're an elected official by the people. We're just trying to get answers. They shut the door and called police. When they arrived, the Troy police officer informed us that Mayor Daniels had snuck out the back door. And there is an audio recording of that meeting. The mayor herself recorded it, but she has refused so far to release that audio tape. Live in Troy, Julie Bonovich, 7 Action News.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. Appreciate the audio. Jeff, you know, you were talking yesterday, and you had made the comment that you get the impression that the Mayor Daniels just didn't realize what she was getting into when she was elected mayor. And obviously that's true. But, you know, my problem with this is she's made a situation that wasn't really that bad a whole lot worse by refusing to discuss it. And I don't understand why she's so seemingly afraid of her own shadow at this point.
Well, she should. I mean... She should have, by this point, have hired somebody to help her see through this, right? I mean, because like you said, you don't talk and it looks bad. But if she talks and says something even worse, because obviously she can't trust her own mouth at this point, then that makes her look bad. So, yeah, she almost needs like a, you know, not that Joe would ever do it, but a Joe DeSano kind of person to say, look, here's how you kind of, you know, ease your way out of this situation. You have to say something. You know, you have to talk to the cameras. And try and make things better, but here's what you can't say.
Yeah, you're right. She needs a media trainer is what she needs, and I'm no longer doing that kind of stuff. So,
well, and would you do it for her?
For the right money, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Ultimately, listen, because it actually serves the topic if you're actually having an intelligent dialogue about it, Jeff. And so, you know, this mayor continues again to step in it. She doesn't seem... to understand anything but what she thinks that she was elected for, which is her fiscal responsibility, right? That's really where her expertise, I have a real hard time saying that with respect to her, but I think she feels like she was elected because of her fiscal views, and, she wasn't prepared to have views on anything else. That's the impression I get anyway.
No, that's dead on. I mean, if it's just, and I think sometimes people do think that, I'll clean up one section of, you know, you have one person, one thing on your agenda, and you don't realize running for office involves more than just the one thing you have on your agenda. You better, you know, brush up on some other stuff.
Yeah, she's frightening. She is frightening. I mean, just to watch her, it's uncomfortable. I'm concerned about the city of Troy, which is important, to Southeast Michigan. I'm concerned that, again, as we saw when they when the city council turned down the transit center, that the important businesses in that city said, you know, we're not going to grow here anymore. We're going to look elsewhere to grow our businesses. So, yeah, you know, this is a concern to me. This is a concern to me. And she seems just so uncomfortable in her own skin right now. And I don't get it. And, it's kind of like... kind of like watching the Pistons implode at this point.
when she turned down the transit thing, didn't other cities try and step up and say, hey, look, if Troy's going to step aside?
Well, actually,
Congressman
Gary Peters stepped up and said, listen, if Troy doesn't want this, by all means, Royal Oak and other communities within my district would be happy to take that money, and we could easily use that to bolster projects that either have been shelved or need more funding. So that money will be used elsewhere. And again, this, as we discussed the other day, you know, they may revive a smaller version of the transit center. But I don't know if it's too little, too late or not. All right, a quick break. When we come back, we're going to delve into New Hampshire politics for a little bit, because ultimately it matters to what we do here in Michigan in a big way. In a big way. Mitt Romney is a winner. In fact, a big winner, bigger than I thought he would be in New Hampshire. But what does it say, and what does second and third place look like? We'll get to all of that when First Shift continues. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, cruiser out there. Still working that accident, 275 northbound at Ford Road. It's on the right shoulder. People just kind of slowing down to take a look at it. Nothing that's going to back you up or anything like that. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, slight chance of showers late, increasing clouds, a high in the upper 40s. Tonight, rain mainly after 7 p.m., a low around 37. Then Thursday, rain changing to snow, cloudy, a high near 42. Right now, it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
My guest is Grant Bossy. He is with Watchdog.org in New Hampshire.
I don't think the ads are particularly negative or worse than they used to be. They're coming from the sweetness and apple pie pack instead of from the candidates themselves, and we don't have those ridiculous 3 seconds of I approve this message at the end. But other than that, I think they might be losing their effectiveness a little more, you know, in the age of DVRs when we just fast forward through all the commercials.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW.
In Iowa's presidential scramble, the biggest players were not the candidates, but an insidious, ever-growing force that voters couldn't even see. Corporate cash. Welcome to the brave new political world created out of thin air by the Supreme Court 2 years ago. In their now infamous Citizens United decision, the court's 5-man majority of laissez-faire ideologues decreed that corporations can funnel unlimited sums of money into nondescript independent electioneering committees, dubbed super PACs. These outfits are then free to bombard voters with nonstop attack ads to defeat candidates they don't like. In Iowa, an unprecedented $12.5 million went into the campaigns. Two-thirds of that was spent not by the candidates, but by these super PACs. The court theorized that super PACs would operate entirely independently from their favored candidates. What a fantasy! In fact, the candidates themselves had dispatched their top staffers and millionaire funders to create and run super PACs on their behalf. So separation is a legalistic fraud. Second, although they operate under such benign names as Romney's Restore Our Future PAC and Perry's Make Us Great Again PAC, these conduits of corporate money have become the nuclear bombs of viciously negative campaigning, sliming opponents with attacks. The Supremes also theorized that super PACs would report the names of their donors, but, surprise, most are refusing to do so. This is Jim Hightower saying, so, by hurling the Citizens United monkey wrench into America's democratic machinery, the court has put secret corporate money in charge of our elections. Let's stop this thievery. To help repeal Citizens United, go to unitedforthepeople.org. That's United, the number 4, thepeople.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-485-9671.
855-252-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for punching in on this early Wednesday, January 11th morning. Tony Trupiano with you. We have a lot to get to. About an hour from now, we'll be checking in with Grant Bossy from New Hampshire's watchdog.org. Getting a little feel for what the day was like yesterday in New Hampshire. We know that Mitt Romney comfortably won the New Hampshire primary. And by the way, he is the first Republican candidate since Gerald Ford to win both Iowa and New Hampshire. That bodes well for him. And it looks like at this point he is in the driver's seat, which is, of course, true. But let's look at second and third place. Second place, Ron Paul. Third place, John Huntsman. Huntsman needed for his candidacy to have any chance of moving on, and I don't know that it does, but he needed to come in the top three, and he did accomplish that. So we'll give him that much, and we'll leave it for the pundits to break that down. But Ron Paul is an enigma. He is an enigma. There's no question he is an interesting character. What I find fascinating about him is that, he really says nothing but the same thing over and over and over again, leaving it to his supporters to really extend his message outside that of liberty. And so here's Ron Paul's victory speech, and we'll come back and talk about it.
I called Governor Romney a short while ago before he gave his talk and congratulate him because he certainly had a clear-cut victory, but we're nibbling at his heels. But there was another victory tonight. He had a victory, but we have had a victory for the cause of liberty tonight. There is no doubt that this whole effort that we are involved in will not go unnoticed. Let me tell you. I think the intellectual revolution that's going on now to restore liberty in this country is well on its way, and there's no way they're going to stop the momentum that we have started.
Well, don't know so much, Dr. Paul, if that's true. I think it can be stopped. In fact, there's a reason why you keep on coming in second and not in first. But, we'll just, again, save that for the experts. Ultimately, the larger issue here is, does this victory, yesterday for Mitt Romney end, which is the Facebook poll question, does it end the hopes and dreams of the other candidates? I don't know if yet that is true. I don't know that it's yet true. I will say that, listen, if you're breaking this down, if you're a betting person, yeah, the best way to look at this is to say that, Mitt Romney has the upper hand. Taking a quick look at the poll numbers yesterday, after the fact, Mitt Romney ended up with 39%. Of the vote, which is far better than it looked like he was going to do yesterday at this time. So, a solid victory for Mitt Romney. Not going to paint it as something it's not. Ron Paul in second with 23%. John Huntsman third with 17%. Newt Gingrich number four with 9%. Rick Santorum next with 9%. Rick Perry 1%. And Buddy Romer didn't even get a one percentage point. 833 votes all told. We were supposed to have Buddy Romer on the show last week, and normally I don't bitch and moan about people that don't show up, but the Romer campaign, and Jeff, if I'm mischaracterizing this, correct me, they pretty much harass us to get on the show, and then you give them some time on the show, and then at the last second, I mean the very last second, they backed out of that interview this week, right?
They actually sent us two emails trying, when can we get on, when can we get on? So I'm like, well, I'll find you a spot, no problem. And that's exactly what happened.
Right. So they, he gives them time, and then they don't show up, so he's done on this show. I don't play that game. With all due respect to Governor Romer and all the other candidates, Mitt Romney obviously is the guy to beat. And at this point, what's next? January 21st, South Carolina primary. Now, if you look at the polling numbers there, Mitt Romney is leading, but Newt Gingrich is not far behind him. And actually, Rick Santorum not very far behind Newt Gingrich. And so there could be a race there. I will say this. I don't think it takes a genius to figure this part out. If Mitt Romney wins South Carolina, I believe it's over at that point, and it's moot. Every other primary or caucus to that point is moot. It won't matter because Romney will be the nominee. That means that the $10 million the taxpayers will have to bear to do a primary here in Michigan will be wasted cash. Because, fairly simply, Mitt Romney will have the nomination sewed up. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. Interestingly, I want to go to some audio that we didn't to get to yesterday. It means that there's the Democrats have already been on top of this. Let's first go to former presidential candidate and current governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, on Fox News. On what the Republicans are really doing right now to Mitt Romney.
We are deep into this thing now, folks. Romney has become a main target at this point for his Republican rivals.
Can we drop a little bit of the pious baloney? The fact is, you ran in 94 and lost. Just level with the American people. You've been running for at least since the 1990s. We want someone who's going to stand up and fight for the conservative principles, not bail out and not run, and not run to the left of Ted Kennedy.
I don't see how we can do well against Obama if we have any candidate that, you know, endorsed, you know, single-payer systems and TARP bailouts and don't challenge the Federal Reserve's $15 trillion of injection bailing out their friends.
Ouch, ouch, and ouch. It's coming from all sides there at Mitt Romney. Governor Tim Pawlenty joins us now. You know, talk to me a little bit about this Bain Capital argument, because and we're trying to turn around a piece of video that we want to show you, but it is very clear, and I just spoke to Jackie Gingrich, Newt's daughter, a little while ago. They're going to come at his relationship and his work at Bain Capital with a very full force. Do you think that that is the way for them to go, or is that dangerous territory?
Well, it's an old issue, and first of all, it's the Democrats' issue. It's the issue that Barack Obama comes out after Mitt on, and, but the Democrats have brought this out for years, and for Newt or other Republicans to be attacking private enterprise in this way, I think is really just embracing the Democrats' message, and it's unfortunately not what Republicans should be doing.
All right, so, and again, I don't disagree with the governor. It is the Democrats' issue, but, you know, you're a Republican, you're running, you're going to use whatever is at your disposal. John McCain, who endorsed Mitt Romney last week, is concerned, though, by the tone of the negative ads and what they're doing to all the GOP candidates. This is what he had to say.
Mitt Romney became CEO of Bain Capital.
Not the one I was looking for, Jeffrey.
His mission? To reap massive rewards for himself,
Jeffrey,
and his investors.
Mitt Romney and them guys, they don't care who I am.
He's for small businesses. No, he isn't. He's not.
And that hurts so bad to leave my home because of one man that's got 15 homes.
Wow. All right, that's pretty tough. And if you turn on a TV station in South Carolina, you're seeing that all the time. Right now, Senator, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's part of it is symptomatic of primaries, which are always tough and sometimes even more personal in the attacks than the general election are.
All right. I guess that's the end of that. All right. So John McCain, again, this idea that you know, Republicans don't pick on one another just is an old idea because it's gone to the wayside, which it should have done a long time ago. And last but not least, Charles Krauthammer on Newt versus Mitt, which, by the way, in South Carolina will be a major issue. Let's listen to that audio.
Newt isn't after victory. He's after vengeance. This is Ahab on the loose hunting his great white Mitt. He thinks, and perhaps with some justice, that a month ago it looked as if he was about to engineer the greatest comeback in American history, right of the presidency, be a historic, world historic figure, which is what he sees himself as. And he blames it all on the negative ads of Romney and actually of Ron Paul in Iowa for the dream to disappear. So he's going to get, he's going after his revenge here.
Payback.
But the point is they're all going to go after one issue. I mean, revenge is one thing, but you've got to have material. The reason that the negative ads worked against Gingrich in Iowa is because there was material you could draw on. Well, the material here people have been looking for the whole time is the Bain Capital story. In other
I don't
words,
know if that's strong enough,
will
though.
They be able to run ads showing people with tears in their eyes, saying, I lost my home so Romney could become a multimillionaire.
Well, and that is really the question, and is the Bain Capital story going to stick? Here's the deal, and I think this, and we'll wrap it up with this. I don't see that Newt Gingrich has any choice but to absolutely aggressively go after Mitt Romney in South Carolina. If Newt doesn't win South Carolina, it is over for him. It's over for everybody. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to listen to some audio from Rick Perry, who was on with Sean Hannity yesterday. And, you know, Governor Perry just doesn't seem to understand that he's out of the race and has been for some time. I mean, again, he got 1% of the vote in New Hampshire. Now, I understand that he didn't campaign in New Hampshire, so I understand why he didn't do well. But, you know, even in South Carolina, where he has been doing a lot of campaigning, he's not polling well there. And so this thing is over for him. But we'll listen to that audio and get Sean Hannity's take on it as well. Not that I'm a big fan of either one, actually. And then we'll have a little fun with an ad that the Democratic National Committee has put together. Mitt Romney, for those of you that know, said the other day that he loves to fire people. I don't know if I love doing it, but I'm pretty good at it. I think we'll have a little fun with that before we get out of here in this hour. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is Bob Ficano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder. And listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Ficano has never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. But I don't wish him ill because that's like wishing the county ill. And I live in Wayne County and I live in Michigan, and you don't want... Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift. with Tony Triano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. A lot going on yet in this hour. A lot going on in the next. In fact, all morning long. Thank you for punching in with us this morning. Governor Rick Perry, Governor of Texas, presidential candidate on the Republican side, was on Sean Hannity's radio show yesterday. And, Jeff, I want to take the two clips backwards. I'd like to take the second clip first, if you don't mind.
Are you saying that he said specifically that they're not ethical? You said specifically, you're saying that Mitt Romney, Governor Romney, is a vulture capitalist, that Governor Romney is unethical?
What I'm saying is that the way that they operated Bain Capital with those two particular companies in those two South Carolina cities, I think was irresponsible. So, you know, the truth is the truth, Sean, and there's no use in us trying to shy away from it. If we think for a minute that Barack Obama's not going to attack this and talk about it, so we might as well get it out in the open and discuss it right now, and find out, is this the type of conservative that we want representing us at the top of the ticket?
You know, that's the question. Is it the type of conservative? And interestingly, as I was watching on MSNBC some of the exit polling, a lot of people that didn't vote for Mitt Romney didn't vote for him because they think he's too liberal. And that will be an issue in the general election. It could also help Mitt Romney for those that are Republican that are not as conservative, moderate Republicans. He, of course, fits right into that mold. Anyway, Hannity, again, goes on to talk with Governor Perry, but and here, Sean Hannity says that Rick Perry sounds like Occupy Wall Street, huh? Well, listen.
Let me ask you, Governor, because I've been following your speeches as you've been going around South Carolina. You are talking about the success of Texas. You are making comparisons about the Obama economy. But you've also had some very harsh words about Governor Mitt Romney, who now has won Iowa and New Hampshire. You said, talking about his days at Bain Capital, Bain Capital compared companies like that. They leave the carcasses behind. Bain is a vulture capital company. They walked into South Carolina, a company like Gaffney. They picked the bones clean of those people who lost their jobs in the same mill. You say rather than restructure jobs, they're trying to make money. Ethics get thrown out the door. They make as much money as they can in a hurry. You know, when I hear that, it almost sounds like Occupy Wall Street. It doesn't sound like somebody that is governing the state of Texas as a conservative.
Sean, there's a real difference between venture capitalism and vulture capitalism. Venture capitalism, we like. Vulture capitalism, no. And the fact of the matter is that he's going to have to face up to this at some time or another. And South Carolina is as good a place to draw that line in the sand as any. Because those people in Gaffney, South Carolina, understand what happened to that photo album company. The folks in Georgetown, South Carolina, understand the jobs that were lost. And that Bain Capital took $20 million and $65 million, respectively, from each of those deals and walked away from it. That's not what we're looking for in a president of the United States. We're looking for someone that knows how to build jobs, create jobs. And that's what I've done in the state of Texas. So there's no use trying to paper this over. That is a problem for Mitt, and he's going to have to face it.
It is a problem for Mitt, and he is going to have to face it. There's no question about that. Now, you know, very quickly, as we kind of take a look at what's going to happen moving forward. It looks like Mitt Romney is the presumptive nominee, and unless something really fantastic happens in South Carolina, and I mean a substantial victory for Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum, and I don't see Santorum making that kind of charge, although Newt Gingrich could, and he certainly has more money than Rick Santorum. If you stop and take a look at, and let me just address this for a minute, the money that's being put into ads into South Carolina and also into Florida. Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich are both spending money in Florida right now as well. We're talking in South Carolina, just the two candidates alone, about $7 million. $7 million in television and radio advertising in South Carolina alone. Excuse me, and in Florida, at this point, probably close to $4 million in advertising. And so Newt Gingrich understands and has been around this game long enough to know what he needs to do in South Carolina. And again, he's polling fairly well there, but he needs to do more than poll well. He needs to do well. And the 21st is not that far off. And that is our next contest, and so Newt Gingrich has his work cut out for him. Again, when we talk with Grant Bosky in the next hour. We'll talk a little bit and ask him if he'll look forward or if he really believes that, you know, Iowa and then now New Hampshire is enough for Mitt Romney to take it. Most of your political science professors around the country are probably going to tell you that this thing is basically over. I'm not quite ready to concede that. And again, it's not hard to sit here and say that. Doesn't make me any kind of genius because ultimately everybody's saying one of two things. It's either over or it will be after South Carolina. And that's what I'm saying as well. So, you know, again, there's nothing Nostradamus-like about what I'm doing here. Just sharing my point of view. All right. The Democratic National Committee, again, if you'll recall, Mitt Romney the other day talked about liking to fire people. Now, again, I don't like doing it, but I've done a lot of it in my lifetime. I've owned three restaurants. I've, you know, owned other businesses. And, yeah, from time to time, you have to fire people. Again, don't like doing it, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Well, the DNC thought they'd have a little fun with this, and they put a little ad together. This is what it sounds like.
I like being able to fire people.
The good news is you're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
I know why jobs come and why they go.
Go, you're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You need your key card.
I know how jobs are created and how jobs are lost.
Piggy, you are fired. You are fired. Piggy, you are fired. Fired.
I understand how jobs come and how jobs go.
You're fired.
I like being able to fire people.
Okay. And Jeff, no. Anthony, no. That wasn't my way of saying anything. Just thought I'd share. That's all.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a twinkle in your eye when we played this morning.
I did not.
The two of us were on thin ice.
I did not.
I could tell.
I did not. I just, you know, there just comes a time. You know, when we were in, I was in the restaurant business, there's a high turnover of employees sometimes, and I went through periods where certainly that was true. I'm one of those people that I pretty much know as an employer when it's not going to work. Why prolong something that you know you're not going to maintain? So if I hired somebody and I was fairly sure within a couple, I don't know, shifts or, you know, weeks, whatever, that wasn't going to work, why prolong it? You might as well get rid of them and let them move on and let you move on, right? Fair enough.
That sounds it sounds a lot like dating. Like, you wouldn't string a girl on then. Like, you knew it was done. You were like, okay, look.
Yeah, because, I didn't do a lot of dating.
Oh, that's right. You found the one right away.
No, not right away. I was 30 years old when I got married. So that'll tell you if that's right away, then, I'll let that speak for itself. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Again, in the next hour, a lot of great information. So you're going to want to stay where you're at. Professor Aaron Perzanowski will be first up. We've got a lot to do, so stay where you're at. Again, tony@thetonyshow.org is the email. 888-552-3595 is the phone number. Let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour, and we'll be back on First Shift. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine out there in the freeways right now. That accident we did have on northbound 275 at Ford Road, that is cleared. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny early, clouds move in late, a chance of showers, and they're very slight, a high in the mid to upper 40s. Tonight, rain mainly after 7 p.m., low around 37, and then on Thursday, looking at some rain changing to snow. Thursday night, lots of snow in the area. Right now, it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, a record turnout of New Hampshire primary voters handed Mitt Romney a win last night. Romney told a crowd of supporters in Manchester to keep the momentum going into the next primary state, South Carolina, and sent President Obama a message.
Tonight we're asking the good people of South Carolina to join the citizens of New Hampshire and make 2012 the year he runs out of time.
Ron Paul says he's pleased with his second-place finish in New Hampshire. He says he offers a distinct alternative to Romney.
We're next in line to him, so I would say that we're the only ones really in the race with him, and we'll have to remain to be seen what turns up.
State documents show that in his last days in office, Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour gave full pardons to 199 people, including 14 convicted murderers. CNN's Ed Lavandero tells us now, with people asking questions about the pardons, Barbour has gone silent.
We've tried desperately over the last 36 hours to try to get a response from the former governor, Haley Barbour. We've reached out to his spokesperson. They've made no comment. He was at the swearing-in ceremony for Mississippi's new governor yesterday. He was asked by reporters there yesterday and blew off those questions as well, so there's simply been no explanation at this point.
Joran van der Sloot is back in court in Peru today to face murder charges in the 2010 killing of a woman in a Lima hotel room. Cole Thompson wrote a book on van der Sloot and has his own theory about the hotel room killing.
He might have even gone on a coffee run while she was still alive on the floor. At that point, he smothers her with the shirt that he's seen on surveillance tape walking into the hotel room with.
Van der Sloot also was arrested but never charged in the 2005 disappearance of American teenager Natalie Holloway in Aruba. That case still hasn't been solved. Orange juice futures have risen because of fears the U.S. government could ban Brazilian oranges after low levels of a fungicide were detected by a juice company. The name of that company hasn't been disclosed. March orange juice futures jumped more than 9.5%. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Take it from Dave Lennox. At the end of the day, it's all about comfort. And the same is true for the middle of the day, the morning, and all night long. A new high-efficiency home comfort system from Lennox will keep your family comfortable 24/7 and reduce your utility bills. Right now, your local Lennox dealer has the system you're looking for. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolutions.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI. January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
It has happened. We've been telling you that Hostess Brands, the company behind Wonder Bread, as well as Twinkies, Ding Dongs, and Ho-Hos, was preparing to file for bankruptcy. Reuters reports Hostess has done so this early morning, filing for Chapter 11 protection for the second time in a decade. The company states that the primary issue is high labor costs, especially pension benefits. For the past few years, Toyota has been exporting a small number of cars and trucks overseas from the United States, including Camrys to Korea and Tacomas to the Middle East. But the president of Toyota North America tells reporters at the Detroit Auto Show the company wants the U.S. to become a major center of exporting Toyotas to the rest of the world. Modest gains for most Asian markets today. European indexes turning slightly lower after giving up early gains. U.S. stock futures had been higher but now are falling. S&P futures down 4. NASDAQ futures off 6. Dow futures losing more than 30. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
We all see the ads on TV. Some new gadget at a great price. Then, wait, for a limited time, get two gadgets for pennies more. And oh yes, there's an extra handling fee. Ah, watch out for that handling fee. Some people are like those gadgets and their extra charges. Good on the job, a workplace value. But in the break room, one-on-one, their immaturity, insecurity, or rudeness undoes the good they do. In other words, some people come with a high handling fee. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Good work is step one. But how well do we work with others? Skip the handling fee in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely, folks. If you don't get it by now, it is about what we individually do that matters in the lives of other people. It's about us using our collective voice to really come together and to make a difference. If you don't understand that that's how it works at this point, where the hell have you been? Good morning, and I don't mean to be rude, but sweet Jesus. That's what this is all about. It's about an empowerment, community empowerment. That's what First Shift represents. We have a great hour of radio for you. You know, 7 o'clock in the morning, I want you to stop and think about what we're going to do in this next hour. We're going to, in just a minute, to visit with an assistant professor at Wayne State Law School on some incredibly important information you need to know that you don't. And why you don't know this is a story in and of itself, but we'll get to that in just a moment. A little bit later on in this hour, we're going to revisit with Grant Bossy from New Hampshire's watchdog.org and kind of wrap up the New Hampshire primary yesterday. And then before we get out of here in this hour, we're going to touch base with Occupy Detroit. And we've got a great topic this morning, which is about Citizens United and corporations being people. So we have so much to get to you in this hour, and I challenge you to find another radio show that gives you the kind of information that we're doing on a daily basis. Let me turn my attention, though, to my first guest, because this is, again, one of those stories that you should know about, and chances are you don't. And again, that in and of itself is a story. But joining me now is Assistant Professor of Law at Wayne State Law School. He teaches in the areas of copyright, trademark, and telecommunications law. And his research examines the influence of law and technology on the creation and exchange of information. There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, or known as SOPA. They are companion bills. That, again, you need to know about. And let's welcome Assistant Professor Pernowski to the show. Aaron, it's a pleasure to have you on the air with us this morning, and Happy New Year to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Listen, you know, why are we not, and we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what these two bills are all about. And actually, they're the, you know, the six, one half a dozen of the other. One's just a reflection of the other, one in the House, of course, one in the Senate. Why are we not hearing about these two bills?
You know, I think there might be a couple reasons that we're not hearing as much as we should about this kind of legislation. One reason is it's pretty technical stuff. You know, if you get down into the weeds of these bills, they're very detailed, they're very technical, they're very long. So it's a hard thing to kind of sum up in the sort of sound bite that we're used to receiving through most of our popular news programming. I think another reason that we're not hearing quite as much about this legislation is, frankly, the companies who are kind of at the head of most of the major media sources in the United States have themselves a pretty strong interest in foreclosing debate on these sorts of issues. They benefit from this legislation, so why bring it to the public's attention when the public thinks about this, they're unlikely to support these kinds of bills.
All right. Well, you know, and interestingly, we're going to maybe get a little technical on people. That's okay. We've got time to do it. We're not worried about the 30-second soundbite. What we are worried about, though, is the truth, and we want people to know the truth. So let's take some time and really talk about what these bills do. And because one is really a mirror of the other, let's just talk about them both as if they're one, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. There are some differences in the specifics, but the general approach here is very similar. I think it's easier to talk about the Senate bill, the Protect IP Act, to get the basics laid out. So under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign website, a website located outside of the United States, facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the Internet. A court can then order an internet service provider, a domain name registrar, someone who operates a DNS server, to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. And they would do that by essentially breaking the connection between the website's internet protocol address and its domain name, right? That essentially deletes the site from the internet that is accessible to most people in this country. The Protect IP Act would also allow rights holders to force credit card companies and banks and advertisers to terminate or suspend the accounts of accused websites. All of this happens, importantly, at an ex parte level, right? What that means is you've only got one side presenting evidence to the court. The prosecutor comes in, presents evidence. We don't hear from the accused website. They don't have an opportunity to defend themselves. And that's part of what's really problematic about the legislation. SOPA, the House bill, as it was introduced, is actually even worse. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. Now, in a manager's amendment that was introduced a couple weeks back, some of the worst aspects of SOPA were addressed, but some really glaring problems still exist. So that's sort of the basic change that these pieces of legislation would work on our law.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, as I was doing some homework and I read a great article in the New York Times, and our good friends at Media Matters for America also have broken this down and taken a look at it from a lot of different levels. The bottom line is, and of course I would be opposed to either one of these going forward, and I'm assuming that you're coming from that point of view as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I think these both would be disastrous bills. There is a workable, although not perfect, alternative that has been introduced, a bipartisan bill introduced by Ron Wyden and Daryl Issa called the Open Act. It would allow the International Trade Commission to handle some of these sorts of disputes. I think that's a better starting point for debate. I think Protect IP and SOPA are not worth continuing the conversation on.
Would it be unfair of me to characterize this, Aaron, I think widely invasive, but almost verging on censorship?
It's a really interesting sort of censorship, right? On the one hand, what these bills would do by breaking DNS, the domain name system, which is sort of one of the core shared protocols that make the internet work. Disrupting DNS, it betrays the values of openness and interconnectivity that really make the internet what it is. If we do that, if we engage in DNS filtering and DNS blocking, it puts us in the same category as China, as Iran, as Syria, among other nations that use DNS blocking to make information unavailable on the internet. Now, It is censorship in the sense that this would be enforced by the government. These would be court orders. But what makes it particularly scary is that it's carried out at the behest of unaccountable private corporations, right? It's not the government that's picking and choosing what gets censored. The government's doing the enforcement, but the identification of the material comes from copyright holders.
Well, you know, and then exponentially, as we take a look at, you know, whoever it is that's making a claim, I mean, to me, it because there are such simplistic ways to enact, if these were to become law, to enact them, really what you could do is cost companies, you know, millions, if not billions of dollars in revenue by literally stopping in their tracks what it is that they do on a daily basis.
That's, you know, from an economic perspective, the really scary thing about this legislation. Now, you know, keep in mind the goal here. The goal of these bills is to help Hollywood and other big copyright owners generate more revenue. That in itself is not a bad thing. You know, I'm not an advocate of copyright infringement. I think Hollywood and other rights holders should be able to protect their intellectual property. But we have to keep in mind here that that comes at some cost. What's good for Hollywood isn't necessarily good for the economy as a whole. Hollywood, despite what they would like us to think, is actually a really small fraction of the economy, much smaller than the technology and internet sectors that are going to be hit by this legislation. So we've got to keep that perspective in mind. There's a built-in trade-off here. That's why companies like Google, Facebook, Twitter all oppose these bills. That's why, you know, the innovative small internet-based startups around the country here in Michigan should all feel threatened by the idea of going down this path towards, you know, as you put it, internet censorship.
Well, and you know, again, it concerns me a great deal. What is the timetable on these two bills as we're currently talking about them?
Well, these bills are both on fast tracks, in part because their proponents are understandably uncomfortable with debate. SOPA, after a lot of public outcry, there's a hearing set for January 18th in the House. The Protect IP Act is set for a vote in the Senate.
Hey, Aaron, can you? We need to take a quick break. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let me take a quick break here. We'll come back. Aaron Perzanowski is our guest, assistant professor of law at Wayne State Law School. We got to get to the break, so let's take the break. First Shift will continue after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And so, but am I ready for the next level? Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got a rollover accident northbound 275. Right before Ann Arbor Road, keep an eye out for it. It's causing some delays. Now, if we're westbound between 8th Mile and Maross, you're going to find some delays there. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, increasing clouds, but still nice and mild for this time of year. A high near 47 tonight. Rain coming in a little bit later on this evening. A low around 37. Then tomorrow, rain changing to snow in the afternoon. We're going to start with a high around 42, but then drop throughout the day. Right now it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Introducing the all-new Prius V from Toyota. The newest member of the Prius family has the space of a small SUV, and with the available Entune multimedia system, you can access apps like iHeartRadio, Bing, and OpenTable. So no matter where you are, you're connected. More Prius, more possibilities. The all-new Prius V. Available at your local Toyota dealer. For more details, visit toyota.com/PriusV.
Obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road conditions. Data charges may apply. Absent services may vary by phone and carrier. See Toyota.com/Intune for details.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting tension nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here, because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Handler.
And I'm Whitney Cummings. Beginning tonight, my show Whitney moves to Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central.
Followed by my new show, Are You There, Chelsea, which stars Laura Prepon as me.
Ooh, from that 70s show.
Yeah, we know.
So, Chelsea, you're not playing yourself? Why not?
Why don't you ask Laura?
I'm playing Chelsea because the network wanted someone younger.
I thought it was because of my take on Casual Friday.
Oh, you mean Bottomless Friday?
No, that's the one.
Yeah, that didn't help your case.
Whitney and Are You There, Chelsea? The NBC Wednesday Happy Hour begins tonight on NBC.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
Feeling you were just born for greatness.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest this morning, Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski. He is a professor of law at Wayne State Law School. We're talking about two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. Both of them would need to be defeated. The one before the Senate is the Stop Online Privacy Act. The one before the House is the Protect IP Act. And Aaron, I want to give an example that was provided to me because this seems ridiculously simple when I do this. So help me out here. It is the example that I was given is YouTube could shut down under these bills if someone were to upload a video singing along with a top 40 song. That's it. That's the whole explanation. And I'm saying to myself, huh?
So that's the kind of, that's one example of the kind of potential infringement that could trigger a response under this act. Sites like YouTube, provide real value for the public, right? They give people a platform for communication. YouTube generates itself a lot of economic activity, employs a lot of people. And so there's value from YouTube. Undoubtedly, there's also some infringement on YouTube, less than there has been in the past. Copyright holders, I think, are rightly concerned about that infringement. The question, though, is what kinds of steps do we need to take to prevent that kind of infringement, and what's the collateral damage from the approach that these bills would put in place? So I don't think the goal is wrong necessarily, but I think the approach here is one that leaves a lot of people in the crossfire, potentially being harmed through, overzealous enforcement by copyright holders.
Well, that really is the question. And of course, I can imagine the average everyday person finding themselves getting into legal problems if these bills were to to pass and not even knowing what to do. Their website would be shut down. The legal cost of then at that point defending themselves. I mean, we really don't know what the cost to the everyday average individual website owner would be, do we?
I think that's right. I mean, now one important thing to keep in mind about these two bills is that they are explicitly focused on what the legislation refers to as foreign websites. Now, what I think they intend by foreign websites is to target websites that are located outside of the United States, on servers outside of the United States, and run by people outside of the United States. Whether or not that's how the law will actually be applied over time, I think, is an important open question that's been part of the debate here. The other thing to keep in mind is putting this legislation in place sets a legislative precedent that makes it easier for copyright holders in the future to argue for this same kind of heavy-handed approach to be applied domestically as well as internationally.
Well, here's my question, and not that first of all, I want you to know that I'm awake and listening to you. Number one, but number two, you know, when I stop and just think of something as simple as a server, what if a server is actually physically located on a foreign land? Does that then place me in a danger category? I don't know where servers are placed. I mean, you know, I host my website with GoDaddy. I'm assuming that they're U.S. based. I don't know that they are, to be sure. I don't know that to be a fact.
Yeah, I think that is a potential worry here. Exactly what the scope is, exactly which sites are going to fall within the ambit of these statutes is, you know, is something that requires, you know, both sides of the debate to take a look at the legislation and, you know, have a real honest debate about what the implications are. And so far, that hasn't really happened, right? The hearings that have happened so far in Congress have been almost completely one-sided. The people who've been testifying are from, you know, major copyright companies, major media companies, and Google was allowed to slip one person into the debate. Now, hopefully that's going to change with this hearing that's scheduled in a couple of weeks in the House.
Wow, this is big stuff. What are we asking this audience to do this morning? What do they need to do?
Well, you know, one thing I think it's really important to keep in mind here is this is not a partisan issue. The opposition to SOPA and Protect IP has been remarkably bipartisan, right? When you've got Ron Paul and Nancy Pelosi agreeing that this legislation is a bad idea, I think that tells you something. What it tells you is that people who understand how the Internet works and why it's important oppose these bills. I think what people should do if they're listening and they find this troubling, I think they need to contact their representatives in Congress, right? They need to let them know that we're paying attention, that we're concerned, and that we don't think these are acceptable approaches to dealing with these problems. Congress people hear a lot from pro-SOPA groups. They hear a lot from those groups in terms of campaign contributions. Now, most of Michigan's representatives, I don't think, have taken a public stand on these bills, but John Conyers is a SOPA co-sponsor, and he's received $200,000 from groups that support SOPA, and less than $20,000 from groups that oppose it. So people in Congress aren't hearing both sides of this debate because the copyright lobby is so well-funded and so well-organized, and we need to make sure that they understand that this isn't a one-sided issue, that there are people on the other side of the debate, and those are people who vote.
Oh, I got to tell you, I'm thinking of more specifically of Facebook, because I'm trying to paint this in a way that would affect the people that listen to this show most. Something as simple as posting a video on Facebook changes everything under these laws.
Well, yeah, one form of getting the word out about this legislation is to make use of the same kind of internet platforms that might be threatened under this legislation. So, you know, social networking, I think, is a great way to get information out there. And I think that's a good suggestion.
I'm telling you, folks, this is really big stuff. I mean, really big stuff. So I'm glad that we had a chance to discuss this with you, Aaron. I understand at some level why NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, and the cable outlets aren't probably talking about this in a bigger way. Because, frankly, financially, it affects them. I'm just very concerned, you know, because all of them are owned by bigger companies that have a pony in this race, if you will. To me, this is censorship of first-class order, and we need to be extremely careful as these move forward. I'm not saying, Aaron, that they don't need some kind of protection, piracy protection. I'm not saying that, and you're not saying that at all. I just don't think that sweeping legislation like this is necessarily the way to go. But we're certainly going to keep an eye on this. And just know, Aaron, if there's anything new, you're more than welcome to come back on the show and update us on what's happening with this.
Great. I'm happy to have the opportunity to talk with your listeners.
Pleasure to have you on this morning, Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Grant Bossy from NewHampshireWatchdog.org. And it's time to move on. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano. And folks, while you've got the internet and you're using it properly, make sure you let your elected representatives know. No on SOPA, no on PIPA. We'll take the break. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
That accident northbound 275 before Ann Arbor Road, a rollover. It's causing some issues. Traffic backed up to Ford Road. Also, 94 westbound between Little Mac and I-696. You're going to find some delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, increasing clouds, a high in the mid to upper 40s. Tonight, rain moves in, high percentage. For that to happen, low around 37. Thursday, rain showers, then changing to snow in the afternoon, a high near 42, and then dropping throughout the day. Right now, it's barren, 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Indiana's GOP-controlled legislature is holding a hearing on the proposed anti-union so-called right-to-work bill today. Despite being outgunned by big Republican majorities, the Indiana AFL-CIO's Jeff Harris says there's a fighting chance of defeating the bill. Harris says it's unpopular with Hoosiers, including some Republicans.
Right now, we have a surprising number of allies on the Republican side who either are vehemently opposed to the concept of right to work or don't like the strong arm tactics that the leadership is using to pass this bill. So we are still very hopeful, cautiously optimistic about our chances to defeat this bill.
Thousands of Indiana citizens opposed to the right to work bill have protested at the state capitol. For the first time since 2009, federal employees could see a small pay raise in 2013. Jesse Russell reports.
President Barack Obama is proposing a 0.5% pay increase for federal employees in his 2013 budget. Republican proposals have called for a one-year extension on a freeze for federal worker pay increases. During the recent pay freeze, workers have continued to receive within-grade step increases, but some of the proposals from Republicans even call for an end to those pay increases. Even if Obama's proposal makes it through the House of Representatives, it is much less than the increase in private sector earnings, which increased by 2% in 2011.
A financial transaction tax is the first step in healing America. Sign our petition at protestintheusa.org.
National Nurses United is pressing for a financial transactions tax on Wall Street as a concrete way to help heal our economy. The Nurses Union says a new report from University of Amherst economists Robert Polin and James Heinz shows that a robust tax on Wall Street transactions would generate significant revenue. National Nurses United says with so many Americans still struggling to recover from the Wall Street Great Recession of 2008, we need a meaningful way to heal our nation. The union says a small tax on major financial trading, which is currently untaxed, is a critical first step. An anti-union group's class action lawsuit attacking the ability of unions to finance political battles is scheduled to be heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court. The suit, filed by the National Right to Work Foundation, was filed after SEIU used a special assessment in 2005 to raise money from SEIU members to fight anti-union California ballot proposals. The suit is part of an ongoing national campaign to destroy the political power of workers and their unions by trying to cut off the money needed for workers to effectively fight political attacks. Oral arguments in the case are being heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court. This newscast was made possible in part by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
First Word.
First Thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW
with Tony Trupiano.
All right, we are in wait of our guest. Is that what's going on, guys? A little update, please. And then we'll know what to do. Okay. Again, we're going to go to New Hampshire here in just a moment, so stay where you're at. Interestingly, going back to the last segment on internet piracy, I get that there's a threat, and I know that there are billions of dollars made on the internet every day by downloading movies and television shows and other forms of media, and I get that. And I'm sure that there are billions of dollars that are not made. Okay. At the same time, there has to be a way to bridge this that is not so invasive and doesn't place us in the middle of a censorship argument that really is based in reality, not in opinion. And so be careful what you wish for. You know, remember that old line? Be careful what you wish for you may just get it. All right. Let us jump back 24 hours where we talked with Grant Bossy, who is the lead investigator with the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy and the editor of New Hampshire's Watchdog.org. He joins us this morning to talk about the post-primary results and what clearly is a resounding victory for Mitt Romney this morning. Grant, welcome back to First Shift. A pleasure to have you back with us.
Oh, it's great to be back and talking about the New Hampshire primary. Were you surprised?
I'm a little surprised that Governor Romney did as well as he did.
The night really broke as well as he could have hoped. The final number is going to be 39% or 40%. He improved on his 08 performance. He won New Hampshire by more than John McCain 4 years ago. And I think the best news for Governor Romney coming out of New Hampshire is that none of the self-proclaimed conservative alternatives got any momentum at all. In fact, in New Hampshire, Romney got more votes than Gingrich, Perry, Santorum, and Huntsman combined.
You know, it's interesting, Grant, as I was kind of breaking down the numbers very early this morning and watching some of the video that was coming out of the exit polling that was being done. And actually, it's kind of wonderful in this age of technology where we actually hear people saying why they voted for a candidate. It's not just on a piece of paper that you're reading it. And people were saying that they were voting for Mitt Romney for a couple reasons. Number one, it wasn't about being conservative. It was about the economy and feeling like he can fix the economy more than President Obama can. And number two, that he is electable. When they were asked the question, many of them, was there another candidate that you would have rather voted for that you didn't because they weren't electable? Almost every one of them said yes.
I think electability is a big part of Governor Romney's campaign. The fact that certainly in the Republican primary and a lot of independents, the election is going to be about President Obama and whether or not he should be reelected. And if you don't want him reelected, then picking the guy to knock him off is a big concern. And the economy, obviously, he's got the most private sector experience of anybody in the field. So if that is your main focus, you want a turnaround specialist to turn around the American economy. That's a part of the governor's appeal. He's not campaigning on social issues that are traditionally popular in states like Iowa. He's got his record out there. I'm sure you guys don't think of him as the mushy Massachusetts moderate the way Newt Gingrich is trying to portray him. Democrats think of him as pretty solidly conservative. They certainly did 4 years ago when he was the conservative alternative in the field. So the way his opponents are trying to portray him is a little different, I think, than how primary voters are trying to portray him. He won among self-described conservatives, self-described Tea Party members. And even those that, that call themselves very conservative, Mitt Romney still got the plurality of their votes more than anybody else.
Well, I think you make, and Grant, you profoundly make the point that he did better than, you know, the rest of the candidates combined. That has to speak to itself. And although the Democratic National Committee, with all due respect to them, are spinning this morning as he didn't do well amongst, you know, everyday people, you know, that it was the wealthy that, that propelled him over the top. You know, it, all that may be true and well and good. The bottom line is he won New Hampshire, and he won by maybe a margin that many didn't think he could. Mitt Romney has a solid victory today. Now, whether or not he's able to take that momentum into South Carolina on the 21st of this month, And to win that one, and I would think, Grant, if he wins South Carolina, this thing is pretty much over, if it's not pretty much over already.
It's tough to see if winning South Carolina, anybody stopping him in Florida, and if he wins the first four, I mean, then it just becomes pointless. But Mitt Romney so far has been the only competent presidential candidate. You've had all these boomlets for Michelle Bachmann and Herman Cain and Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry, and everybody rises up to be the alternative, and then they crash and burn by not running good campaigns. And the sheer competence of Romney's campaign so far, I think is the most impressive thing. New Hampshire hates front runners. We love being able to trip them up and do our own thing here in New Hampshire. And Mitt Romney had been the front runner for well over a year. That's unheard of. We always knock people off the roof. But he was the only one that, you know, targeted his voters, ID'd his voters, knew who had to turn out, had the ground game in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. He's the only one running a national campaign, anything like a modern campaign. And the actual nuts and bolts of getting people out to vote for you matter a whole lot. And quite frankly, Newt Gingrich is kind of running a book tour. Rick Santorum was running an Iowa-based campaign. John Huntsman was running a New Hampshire campaign. Just on sheer mechanics, the Romney team was way out ahead of everybody else. And that matters. And
well,
that's
matter
in the ball. Barack Obama was better than anybody at that in 2008.
Well, which is
the nuts and bolts sound better than anybody else.
Absolutely. You know, and it makes Ron Paul's, and it's a victory for Ron Paul to come in second. There's no question that's true, but it, I think it also points out and spells trouble, as I think that you were alluding to earlier on in this interview, for the rest of the field. If Ron Paul is the solid number two in New Hampshire, it basically says to the rest of the country, the rest of the field really is insignificant.
Yeah, and I have friends who supported Dr. Paul, and they're going to get mad at me when I say this, but he's not going to be the Republican nominee because he is truly unacceptable to a majority of Republican primary voters. And I think he got a lot of his support in New Hampshire. He built on the 8% he got 4 years ago. Well, that's true, and that's, you know, some Tea Party people and some people that like his domestic policy agenda, but he drew a lot of support from the anti-war left, and he was very closely tied to the Occupy New Hampshire people, movement you know well, and so he's getting people that are coming in that are never in a million years going to be voting Republican in November. They may vote for the president. They may be dissatisfied with either choice. But they're certainly not going to be voting for Mitt Romney or Rick Perry or Newt Gingrich. And drawing that kind of support boosts your total in Republican primaries. But I think New Hampshire was the only state where he had anything close to a chance at winning. This is his strongest state, and he's polling nowhere. He's polling back down around 10% in South Carolina. Polls aren't destiny, but it gives you an idea of relative strength. And New Hampshire was, I think, Ron Paul's high watermark.
Well, we know that Dr. Paul will hang on all the way to the convention. He does it every time he runs, and of course, you know, he'll, you know, do his little drama, and he gets his little pat on the back, and that's fine. And the Paulites will go home until the next election cycle, and then we'll do this all over again because he's very good at it, and that's all well and good. The bottom line, as we work our way towards South Carolina. You know, the only one, and looking at the polling numbers as I did this morning, Grant, and the only one that really has a chance of beating Mitt Romney in South Carolina as we speak. Now, it could change because the 21st is 10 days away, is Newt Gingrich. But Newt Gingrich, is, as you pointed out, and I think you make an excellent point again, he doesn't have a national a system in place, and the only one that does is Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's the only one that's prepared to run for president is the bottom line.
Yeah, I think so. And Newt Gingrich, look, if every single evangelical conservative gets together and decides, you know what, it's just not Romney. And the numbers out in New Hampshire say that he drew the vote of the very conservatives. So he's not unacceptable. But if every single one of them in South Carolina gets together and says it can't be Romney, and they coalesce, and Rick Perry drops out after his, frankly, wacky comments last night on CNN, and Rick Santorum drops out, and John Huntsman doesn't draw any of that. I mean, he's coming more from Romney's left than his right. But if everybody else other than Romney and Ron Paul drop out, I still don't know if that's enough, to get over where Mitt Romney is, because he's up over 30% now, and if he gets over 35, there's just no room to catch him.
Yeah,
so
right.
I don't know if that's gonna happen, and you know, the Romney Super PAC has announced intentions. They're going out, they're carpet bombing Gingrich again, like they did in Iowa. So they see Gingrich as the threat in South Carolina.
Yeah, and in fact, I read a report again this morning, Grant Bossy, that the two PACs, Gingrich and Romney's PACs, have already committed $7 million to South Carolina and already have spent $4 million in Florida. Of course, it probably will be over by then. Grant, I want to thank you for the generous amount of your time the last 2 days. You certainly did help make this a much livelier conversation, and I appreciate your thoughts.
Everybody in New Hampshire, regardless of party, likes to be ambassadors for our First in the Nation primary. We work hard, and we're happy to talk about
all
it.
All right. Grant Bossy, once again, watchdog.org. We've got to take a break here. Stephen Boyle, when we continue with Occupy Detroit. A lot to get to. Stay where you're at, folks. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Oh, yeah. And come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
On 1310 WDTV.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
But I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour, otherwise known as 7:50, and that means one thing on First Shift. Anybody want to tell me what that is? Anybody? Anybody? Yep, you're right. It's time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift, and joining us today is Stephen Boyle. We got a lot to get to, so let us bring him on. Stephen, welcome to First Shift. Pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you.
And appreciate all the I appreciate all the pre-show publicity you did. I saw you had us all over Facebook, and appreciate that.
Sure, can get you over to Twitter and everything else.
I'm telling you,
we have an Occupy the Courts tagged out on Twitter that we'd love to have people following and tweeting out.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. What is Occupy the Courts all about, Stephen Boyle?
Occupy Detroit? Or
Occupy the Courts. The Courts.
Occupy the Courts. Okay, we have got to basically take back the country in the hands of the people such that the people have a voice and actually quiet down the voice of corporations. Because corporations right now, as of the Citizens United versus the FEC ruling in 2010, wound up becoming considered like people. So there were five Supreme Court judges that ruled in 2010 to allow them unlimited investment in getting politicians elected. So those Supreme Court judges felt that it was a violation of First Amendment freedom of speech. But this work, that's usually for people, not about corporations. So Move to Amend has got an amendment that they're putting out there for the 28th Amendment that indicates that, the rights protected by the Constitution are the rights of natural persons only, that artificial entities such as corporations, limited liability companies, and other entities, they're not people. There's a couple of great videos that I put on the post that I had out on Facebook for you.
Absolutely, and I want to encourage people to go over there and click through and watch those as well.
Yeah, the storyofstuff.org website is a great website for getting people educated on just what's going on in government and how things work in our society today. They've got some great videos there, and one of them is the Citizens United versus the FEC, and they go through a number of points.
You know, it's interesting. We'll use Mitt Romney as an example because, of course, he has that infamous quote that corporations are people, my friend. Of course they're people. Where do you think that money goes? It goes to the people. And God bless Mitt. We will remind him nonstop through the election because it looks like he's going to be the nominee, that corporations are not people, Stephen Boyle. And no matter what he would like us to think, they are not people.
Right. Well, corporations run political action committees, and they encourage their employees to forward their interests through them. They even, at one point we were putting dollars into those, and we had tax credits that we were able to do in response to putting political action money out there. Well, then the corporations would take all that money and use it to influence votes. And it sounds like it's protecting the jobs of the employees, but really the political action committee is taking care of the profits of the corporations above all.
Well, you know, political action committees are just a part of the political animal. They exist, and I understand that. I don't even necessarily have a problem with political action committees. What I do have a problem with are the rules that they do or don't have to follow, and that really is at the crux of our argument here today. Stephen, as we're seeing what's happening during these primaries, we saw it in Iowa, we're seeing it in New Hampshire, we're going to see it in South Carolina, and of course it's all about the Republicans right now. We've got our candidate Barack Obama, but we see what these PACs are doing and the millions of dollars that they're spending without having to justify where that money comes from. And I think that there should be some transparency. There should be some accountability here. And I know that there are some Democrats that aren't happy to hear me say that this morning, but I don't care. There needs to be accountability.
I mean, if you look at SOPA and PIPA and all the money that has come from all the interest groups around that, you've probably got billions of dollars that are being put on that one. That one's huge. And the coffers of Congress are just growing. And they don't. Congress needs to know that they don't have to vote with the money. They can, if they're taking in the money, they don't have to vote with the money. But you're definitely going against the grain of the corporations if you do that.
Well, listen, I don't have a problem because they're there. We're not gonna make PACs extinct. It's not gonna happen.
No.
But I do believe in transparency, Stephen. That's all I'm saying. Let's be transparent. Let's be transparent about who's funding these things and what it is they're funding. And then let the markers lie where they may at that point. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing that we've got opencongress.org. Opencongress.org has something called the Money Trail, and all of the top 10 representatives and top 10 senators around each bill are listed as far as their financial contributions and what interest groups put those contributions in. So you can actually follow any bill and also follow your congressman and find out where they're getting their dollars.
And that's important to do. You know, we just, in fact, in the last hour, talked about SOPA and PIPA, and you know, one of the things that I learned from our guest was that Congressman John Conyers has received over $200,000 from pro-SOPA groups, and so that's something that we need to keep an eye on, because I can't imagine that Congressman Conyers would be pro-SOPA, and if he is, then we need to hold him accountable to that, Stephen, and we need to say that this is now you're voting with the money, and as you just said, they don't have to feel compelled to do that.
Well, we need 41 of our senators to be against the bill when it comes up for the vote on the 24th, and it means during recess getting in touch with people. But back to the courts, we need to get this amendment that Move to Amend has put on their website. There's movetoamend.org. We need people to support this. One of the ways that we're getting some awareness around this is on January 20th, we're doing Occupy the Courts, which is everybody's to visit the federal courthouse nearest them. In Detroit, there's Theodore Levin Courthouse on 4th Street. So there's going to be a pretty large action going on there, and we're looking forward to as many people as possible to come out on Friday.
All right. We want to encourage people to do that. Stephen, it's just, again, there's no lack of things that Occupy Detroit is involved in. And, again, it just, once again, it's a reaffirmation for me that the Occupy movement is front and center and become really the rallying point for activists in Southeast Michigan and beyond. And we're lucky to have a group like Occupy Detroit that is so involved and so active in so many important issues, including Occupy the Courts. I want to thank you for your time this morning. I'm glad that we had a chance to chat, and I'm sure that we'll have you back on the show sometime in the near future.
I really thank you a lot, Tony, for giving me the opportunity to talk with you, and thanks for dedicating a portion of your show to Occupy.
My pleasure, because it is about all of us, after all, including me. All right, a quick break here, folks. Stephen Anderson with the Detroit Free Press on the other side. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Northbound 275, not the place to be today. First, we have an accident northbound 275 before Ann Arbor Road, a rollover accident blocking the right lane. Also, northbound 275 at Ford Road, we have an accident there that's in the center lane. And traffic overall is backed up all the way to Ecorse Road. Yikes. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, increasing clouds all day long, a high in the mid to upper 40s. Tonight, rain mainly after 7 p.m. A chance of precipitation is around 80%. Thursday, rain showers likely, then changing to snow throughout the day. Cloudy, a high near 42, but that temperature will drop throughout the day. Right now it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, Mitt Romney makes a bit of history. He's the first Republican to win both the Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire primary who was not an incumbent. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from Manchester, New Hampshire, on the morning after Romney's win. Bob?
And Jim, to the victor goes the spoils of being able to ignore the others in the Republican race, by and large, in his victory speech. Instead, Mitt Romney took New Hampshire's vote as a sign to remember candidate Barack Obama from 4 years ago, when both were stumping here.
He promised to bring people together. He promised to change the broken system in Washington. He promised to improve our nation. Today we're faced with the disappointing record of a failed president.
On the other end of the tally, Newt Gingrich looking forward to a Southern revival.
This campaign is going to go on to South Carolina.
The former speaker's message has not caught on extensively in the first two states. Jim?
That's our Bob Costantini in New Hampshire. Outgoing Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour issued nearly 200 pardons in his last days in office, including 14 convicted murderers. Jackson Free Press managing editor Ronnie Mott thinks it sends a bad message to women, since many of the men pardoned were involved in domestic violence.
If we can't send them a message that they can come forward, talk to officials, be safe, then, you know, we're going backwards here. This doesn't make any sense.
Media attempts to ask Barbour about the pardons have been unsuccessful. Iran is blaming Israel for a bombing in Tehran that reportedly killed an Iranian nuclear scientist. A couple of bombings back in 2010 killed other nuclear scientists in Iran. Clashes between anti-government demonstrators and pro-government forces continue in Syria. Protesters gathered at the funeral of a man they say was killed by forces loyal to President Assad. This man says his people live in fear.
The situation is very bad. We are only want to be like you, like the Western people. We want to be free people.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolutions.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Big banks back on the hot seat. Reports say New York State regulators are investigating Citi, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and other large banks, looking into whether they overcharged homeowners for force place insurance, a type of insurance banks buy that make homeowners pay for if their first insurance is dropped for failing to make payments. Second trip into bankruptcy for the company behind Wonder Bread, plus several iconic snacks such as Drake Cakes, Twinkies, Ho-Ho's, Hostess Brands filing for Chapter 11 protection early this morning. The company blames higher costs for labor and for flour. Here's news for you if you thought the Crocs craze was over a few years ago. The company behind those often wacky colored rubbery slipper shoes says once all the receipts are counted for 2011, sales are expected to have broken through the $1 billion mark for the first time. The company says it enjoyed an unexpectedly strong holiday season for Crocs sales. S&P futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 6. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
We want to know. How do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
We all see the ads on TV. Some new gadget at a great price. Then, wait, for a limited time, get two gadgets for pennies more. And oh yes, there's an extra handling fee. Ah, watch out for that handling fee. Some people are like those gadgets and their extra charges. Good on the job, a workplace value. But in the break room, one-on-one, their immaturity, insecurity, or rudeness undoes the good they do. In other words, some people come with a high handling fee. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Good work is step one. But how well do we work with others? Skip the handling fee in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, as the case may be in this hour. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this 11th day of January 2012. A pleasure to be with you. We have a lot to do in this hour, so you're going to want to stay with us. We do have time for open lines, by the way, at 8:35. So if that's on your mind, feel free to join us then. And, of course, when I have guests on, as long as you keep it topical to the guests, we always want to welcome your calls. The phone number doesn't change, but I'll give it to you anyway. 888-552-3595. That's toll free, of course. 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. That's tony@thetonyshow.org. And certainly on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Guys, if you'll give me our intro, we can get going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal,
the Detroit Free Press's and First Shift voice of reason.
One of the questions that, again, the governor is going to have to face is, can you afford to come in and make police officers and other public safety workers less comfortable than they are? You're especially going to need them to keep the city from completely crumbling while you do this restructuring.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is Stephen Henderson. Stephen, a pleasure to have you back on this Wednesday morning. Hope the last week was kind to you.
Yes, it was. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning to you, sir. Well, you know, you and I decided we're going to talk a little bit about transit today. But before we get there, if we could, maybe in the bigger picture, the governor's been in office a year now, a little over a year. We knew little about him on Inauguration Day. We really did. And I got to tell you, as I've been involved in political campaigns, I was a candidate for Congress myself in 2006. I've been in talk radio for the better part of 20 years. I've done lots of different exposés and profiles on people. I got to tell you, I don't know that I ever saw somebody elected to office the way Rick Snyder was, with us knowing so little about him going in.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's you know, obviously brand new to politics, but then also not a public figure in another way, right? I mean, he's grown up in private business and in the venture capital world, and I feel like I have gotten to know the governor, you know, as well as just about anybody in the press has over the last year and a half. But I think you're right. There was not a lot of
there was not a lot of understanding of how he would govern, how he would lead before he was elected, and that is very unusual. You know, part of it, I think, goes to the fact that in the primary, if you remember, I guess 2 years ago now, he seemed like something of a dark horse for a very long time. I mean, he seemed like somebody who had a lot of interesting ideas and was well-meaning, but because he didn't have the political experience and for a long time didn't have the kind of organization that some of the other candidates had, a lot of people counted him out. And didn't think that he was going to be that serious. And so I think he got less attention and less scrutiny. I mean, think about how much we knew, back then about, you know, candidates like Mike Cox or Mike Bouchard, Pete Hoekstra. I mean, these were public officials who'd been around a while, but most of the coverage early was focused on them. And by the time Snyder, jumped to the fore, you know, there was a little bit of a catch-up thing, and then the general election, I think, it seemed to happen in the blink of an eye. And so you're right. It was like, well, who is this guy, and what's he going to do? And I think we know more about that now than we did then, but he's still something of a political mystery. I mean, because he doesn't talk in political terms very much. He doesn't really engage on a lot of subjects that a lot of other public officials talk about, because he chooses not to sort of engage on them. And so he's not as we don't have as full a picture of who he is as other governors or mayors or members of Congress.
Well, you know, and again, because we're going to spend some time today talking about transit, you know, the one thing that you're a little more enamored to, Stephen, than I am, is the special message apparatus that he has put in place. And,
yeah.
And you know, you happen to like that, again, a little more than I do. But but at least it gives us, I guess, a gauge. And you know, we know that there are some special messages scheduled for this year, and so we'll sit back and wait. I know one of them is on the environment. We don't know when that's going to happen in
right.
2012. We do know that it will happen, but I guess it gives us a benchmark to work from. Certainly, transit is one of those special messages as well. And here we were just a few weeks ago talking about one deal that looked like it was dead. Now it may be revived to some degree, although somebody said that this new proposal with mass transit is basically just the people mover on minor steroids.
Yeah, well, I think there's a danger that it could live up to that description or live down to it. You know, I am not sure. I am still trying to sort out what exactly is going on and why, you know, 3 weeks after this was all off, it's back on again, and how that's true, right? I mean, the governor is talking about something wholly different from this train idea. Even the train, if you were to extend it up to 8 mile, which it's not at this point. I mean, you're talking about a 3.5 mile rail line. But even if it were to go up to 8 mile, it still doesn't seem like it fits naturally, at least, with the vision that the governor has laid out, which is for a series of rapid bus lines that would presumably start somewhere around downtown Detroit and go out along the spokes. It seems to me that a train is sort of disruptive to that, because you're not going to run the bus line, you know, on the 3.5 miles where you have a train. So if you were riding this bus line, you'd have to get off of that and get onto the train to get all the way downtown. There's also the question of how all this gets financed. The train has significant private backing. I mean, as much as $100 million, I think, and I think that's real money. I mean, I don't think that's pipe dream or people promising things they won't deliver on. And it seems to have developed along a track that's very separate from what the governor is talking about in terms of how it would be managed, how it would be built, how it might be paid for. You know, the governor's talking about a regional transit authority that has never been successfully discussed in the context of this train. And so I think there's just a lot of questions that have to be answered about how all this stuff works together, so that, as you point out, we don't end up with yet another people mover, some sort of novelty that's the butt of jokes, that doesn't really boost transit in the region. And I'm not sure where the governor really stands on all this. I mean, he was supposedly one of the people who said, let's stop this train thing and do the bus because that's easier to do and it's a success that we can build on. Now he seems to have been backed down, at least off of that position, by the private investors and the federal government, who seem impressed with the private investors. And I just don't know where we're headed with all this. It's hard for me to see a clear path to getting any of this done in a rational way in the next couple of years.
Do you think, Stephen Henderson, that we need to solve the transit authority question before we can even consider having a discussion about anything else?
See, I think that's what our problem is, right? That is the big question, the big picture question around here, which is, how are we going to manage and finance transit? And so, yeah, you've got to sit down and figure out how this regional transit authority works. Regional transit authority works. We have not had a lot of success with that in this region. In fact, we've got tons and tons of failures to point to, including SMART, which, as much as I think SMART is doing well with the routes that it has and people being able to count on it, SMART's not a success story because it's got its own financial problems. It's got these ridiculous opt-out clauses. You've got entire communities that have been able to say, well, we just don't want to be part of the bus system. That's not success. And so I think that to get any of this stuff beyond the drawing board stage or the dream stage, you have got to say, this is how we are going to do this. You know, it's either going to be a state authority or a regional authority, and how is it going to be paid for? Is it going to be paid for with a regional tax? Is it going to be paid for? I think there's some case to be made. This is just my opinion, that this is a big enough part of the state, this region, that maybe there's a state tax, a part of state taxes that comes to subsidize regional transit in the largest metropolitan area. But those are the questions that I think you've got to get to first before you start talking about whether it's bus or train and where and when it's going to be built. And those are tough questions because a lot of people have not bought into the idea of transit because we haven't had a lot of success with it. It's going to be harder to get those people to sign off on something like a transit authority without an example of success, which you can't get until you have the authority.
which comes
sort of
first?
Like chasing your tail, right?
Right. You know, it's the chicken or the egg, no question. Yeah. Stephen Henderson, stay right where you're at. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and talk transit. We'll talk a little bit more about the governor's first year. Maybe what some of our hopes might be. Those of us that lean left are looking for a little bit of something, Governor?
Something from this guy, right?
Yeah, can you give us something, please? Let's take the break. We'll continue with Stephen Henderson right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking a little bit better on northbound 275 right now. We had that accident northbound before Ann Arbor Road. It's an overturned vehicle. So traffic was really slowing down to look at it. Traffic is still backed up to Michigan Avenue, but that's better than it was. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today starts out sunny, increasing clouds all day, though a high in the mid to upper 40s. Tonight, rain mainly after 7 p.m., a low around 37. Then tomorrow, rain likely, but then changing to snow a little bit later on in the day. A high around 42, but that will drop. Right now it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Introducing the reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's the most technologically advanced Camry ever. With the available Entune multimedia system, you can access apps like iHeartRadio, which gives you more than 750 radio stations from around the country. The reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you? Learn more at toyota.com/Camry.
Be sure to obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road and traffic conditions. Not available on all models. Data charges may apply. See toyota.com/Entune for details.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
We're all resolving to run our lives a little better. Why not start with making sure our vehicles run better, too?
The seasons have taken a toll on your car and your car battery. But Sears Auto Center, featuring diehard batteries, is here to help. Come in today and ask about a free battery check so you don't have to worry about getting stuck with a dead battery. Plus, save on all Michelin tires and get a $70 Sears Award card instantly when you buy four. So you can add another resolution to your list, saving some money. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. Sears Auto Center. While card quantities last, in-store only. Ends 128. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You have that feeling. You were just born for greatness.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. Not just Tony, Stephen Henderson, the Detroit Free Press is my guest. You've got the number if you'd like to join us. You know, Stephen, when I think about the city of Detroit and I think about its potential, I have to think about my son Anthony, who is the young man that calls you every week to get you on the show. He loves the city. He loves to go downtown. I think that when you, if you were to talk to him, and actually, Anthony, if you want to join us for a second, you talk to him about, you know, mass transit, having something that would get him all over, because he loves to go downtown, went downtown last weekend, loves spending time down there. He's 21 years old. This is the age where we want to engage young right. people in what's going on. So, Anthony, what are your thoughts about what we're talking about? Anthony, come on, don't
he's,
be shy.
He's got his headphones on. He's cutting something up.
He oh, he's doing some audio? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, if he's got a chance, let me know when he's got a chance and throw it on. Throw him on with us. You know, I don't want this to be, again, a dressed up people mover. I want it to be something real, something that can be expandable, something yeah. that, you know, and I think that's what private investors want. You know, they're not looking to build, to invest in rail. They're looking to invest in infrastructure. Ultimately, they want to build, they want to take over buildings that are empty. They want to put stores in. They want to make money, Stephen.
Right. And there's something to the idea that rail, because of its permanence, because of the kind of stations that accompany it, that rail's the best way to make public transit into economic development, which is what they're looking at, right? They're not looking at transit just as a way to get people around and to jobs and things like that. They're looking at it as a way to spur growth, which is what we so desperately need to build on, particularly downtown and in the Midtown corridor. And so I think, you know, that was why we were all so excited about the idea of the train to begin with, was that, you know, it makes sense from that perspective, and it was something to build on all the momentum we have. But at the same time, what the governor's talking about is equally important, which is actual rapid transit to get people across very long distances in this region. Is a very spread out area of the state, and we don't have a good way. If you live in Detroit and work in Livonia, it's pretty tough to get to work unless you have a car. And so I think what the governor's saying is let's start with that, and solve some of those problems before we get to this idea of a train. And again, neither one of these things needs to be mutually exclusive. You can do them together. You can get the train running and have the bus lines built at the same time. But you do have to have the infrastructure to do that, and that's this authority, this regional transit authority, which I don't see any signs that we're very close to having. I'm not sure that there are even any talks, any meaningful talks underway about how that would be structured, who would sit on it, how it would finance all these projects. So I think before you get to the point where you're talking about getting on one of these things, the bus or the train, you've got to talk about who's gonna run the thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think that you've pretty much given us what we know, and that's we don't know anything. We don't. Without this authority, nothing is legitimately, nor should it happen. You need to have a coordinating council. You need to have a group of people that are experienced. And I think we need to bring people in from out of the state that know how to do this, Steve. And if we're going to do it, let's do it right.
Right, right. I spent a long time before I came back to Detroit living in Maryland, and in fact still own a house in Maryland that I can't get rid of. It's a good example of a state that has its act together on transit in a way that we don't. In Maryland, there is one transit authority that is run by the state, and they run buses in Baltimore and in suburban Washington. They run a subway and a light rail system in Baltimore. The subway which is being expanded this year there, a very long extension across the middle of the city. They run commuter trains between Baltimore and Washington. But they all are dealt with in the same way, and they're all funded out of the same source. And so when somebody in Maryland proposes, let's extend the Baltimore subway so that it goes through downtown and over to Johns Hopkins, there isn't an argument to be had between local public officials about who's going to control it or who's going to where it's going to stop or things like that. The governor just says we're going to do this, and the money's there, and he's got the authority to get it done. I happen to think that's a better model. There's no place I could go in Maryland where I can't get the kind of public transit I need to get around the state.
And don't think here, that doesn't matter, Stephen, to employers, to potential employers, to people that
right.
make investments in cities. Don't think that stuff isn't significantly important. I want to get to the phones real quick before we run out of time.
Sure.
So let's welcome Mike and Klaus. And Mike, welcome to the show. Happy New Year to you. What's on your mind today, Mike?
Hi, Tony. I'm old enough to I vaguely remember as a little kid the streetcars running up Woodward Avenue, and I think we ought to explore bringing the streetcars back.
I hear that a lot from people from people who remember the streetcars and the train, and that's just a little before my time. You know, one of the funny things is, I mean, I live along the riverfront, not far from downtown Detroit, and you can still see the tracks. You know, when the concrete gets worn down, you can still see the tracks from the streetcars on like Jefferson and on Woodward. So they're still there. And so I guess in theory you could unearth those and use them again. It's not a bad idea. I mean, it's one of the ironies of this region is that we had a pretty decent streetcar system in Detroit for years, and it died for a number of reasons, not least of which is that, you know, this is a pretty car-centric place. But now we're back to the point where we're saying, I don't know, we got to have some sort of public transit that's that works. And it's like we had it, we got rid of it, and now we're going to have to pay quite a bit of money to get it back. There aren't a lot of cities that have functional streetcars anymore. Actually, light rail, which is what we've been talking about, is the new streetcar. That's what we have in Baltimore. There are lots of other cities around the world that have these very interesting light rail systems that have sort of sprung up and replaced the old streetcars. And in some ways, the streetcars are not that different from this bus rapid transit that the governor is talking about. I mean, people are thinking buses because he's saying bus. These are not buses in the sense that you think of VDOT or SMART. They're very high-tech, fast-moving things. They are much more analogous to some sort of rail system. So we're sort of getting the streetcars back, even though we're not getting them back explicitly.
And we're not getting them back soon enough, but we are out of time for today, Stephen Henderson. So maybe we'll next week have a chance to ask the governor to give us on the left a little something to chew on this year.
Yeah.
in the meantime, I always appreciate the time you give us, Stephen. Have a great week. We'll look forward to talking to you next Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. All right. Stephen Henderson, once again, editorial page editor of Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal. Seen on Sundays on PBS. Let's take a quick break. We're open lines, by the way, for the balance of the show. If you want to join us, do it now.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Still looking at some delays on northbound 275. That accident is still there on the right shoulder northbound before Ann Arbor Road. Traffic is backed up to Michigan Avenue. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, increasing clouds, a high near 47. Tonight, rain mainly after 7 p.m., a low around 37. Thursday, rain showers are likely. That'll switch to snow a little bit later on. We'll hit a high of 42, but that will drop. Right now, it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Virgil Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
In Iowa's presidential scramble, the biggest players were not the candidates, but an insidious, ever-growing force that voters couldn't even see. Corporate cash. Welcome to the brave new political world created out of thin air by the Supreme Court 2 years ago. In their now infamous Citizens United decision, the court's five-man majority of laissez-faire ideologues decreed that corporations can funnel unlimited sums of money into nondescript independent electioneering committees, dubbed super PACs. These outfits are then free to bombard voters with nonstop attack ads to defeat candidates they don't like. In Iowa, an unprecedented $12.5 million went into the campaigns. Two-thirds of that was spent not by the candidates, but by these super PACs. The court theorized that super PACs would operate entirely independently from their favored candidates. What a fantasy. In fact, the candidates themselves had dispatched their top staffers and millionaire funders to create and run super PACs on their behalf. So separation is a legalistic fraud. Second, although they operate under such benign names as Romney's Restore Our Future PAC and Perry's Make Us Great Again PAC, these conduits of corporate money have become the nuclear bombs of viciously negative campaigning, sliming opponents with attacks. The Supremes also theorized that super PACs would report the names of their donors, but, surprise, most are refusing to do so. This is Jim Hightower saying, so, by hurling the Citizens United monkey wrench into America's democratic machinery, the court has put secret corporate money in charge of our elections. Let's stop this thievery. To help repeal Citizens United, go to UnitedForThePeople.org. That's United, the number four, ThePeople.org. To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, 35 minutes after 8 o'clock, you've got the number. Let me get to an announcement before I go to the phones. We're open lines, by the way, for the rest of the show, so feel free to join us. Pam sends me a note that the Wyandotte Democratic Club has their meeting tonight. They'll be having an interesting discussion on health care and the need for expanded Medicare for All. It's also known as Congressman John Conyers, Bill H.R. 676, which I've talked about on this show many times. Discussion will be led by Bob Sisler. He's an H.R. 676 advocate and excerpts from the movie Sicko, that's Michael Moore's movie, will be shown. The Wyandotte Democratic Club meets at the Copeland Center at 7 p.m., and they're located at 2306 4th Street at Mulberry in Wyandotte. It's a beautiful facility, by the way. So if you have a chance, go on out to the Wyandotte Democratic Club meeting this evening, and happy to get that information out. If I have time, I'll mention it again before we get out in this hour. And Pam, I'll get to the rest of your email after the show today, but happy to get you that information and get out the mail, get out the announcement for the meeting tonight. 7 o'clock at the Copeland Center in downtown, near downtown Wyandotte. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Jim in Garden City to First Shift. Jim, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Okay. I used to live off the Grand River line where they had rubberized tires and electric buses. If you have a rail system, you're going to tear up the traffic, the vehicular traffic on any given road, because they're generally in the center. And people have to exit the buses in the center platform and then make their way across to the curb. With a bus, it went, with the electric bus, it went to the curb.
Right.
And let people off just like a normal bus. The only thing is, instead of diesel, it ran on electricity.
Oh, and I think that what we're talking about is something, Jim, that's very much like what you're describing.
Right, but hard rail is twice as hard to install, and it doesn't have any flexibility. And you're kind of stuck with whatever you got after the rail's laid down.
Right.
So, you know, if you can get the word passed up to people who are making these big decisions and put that in, because I understand the stuff, the buses we ship to South America are probably still working.
You're right. They probably are. Jim, thank you for your call, and you're right. There are ways to do this and get it done that makes sense, that are already making sense, and I'll go back to, you know, something I said during our conversation with Stephen Henderson. We you know, that it's not like that there aren't people that don't know how to do this. It's being done in major cities around the country, around the world. It's just getting those people here, putting that authority together, getting those people here, and start making decisions, getting this stuff funded and making the decisions and start going to work building this stuff, this infrastructure. It's critical. It's important. We need to start thinking about it now. We're way behind where we should be. 888-552-3595. Remind you the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. Let me welcome Theo in Detroit. Happy New Year to you, Theo. Haven't chatted with you in a while. Hope you're well.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Happy Wednesday to you.
Thank you.
Yes, I was calling because I heard on a news show that the factory on, I guess it's Jefferson and St. Jean, is going to be hiring over 1,000 people. Have you heard about that?
No, but that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, it definitely is. I was listening to the conversations that you have had as it relates to revenue for the city of Detroit, because we've been hearing just consistently about concessions. You have to give, but very little about revenue generating possibilities. And if the factory is going to be hiring over 1,000 people, then of course that's going to bring some revenue into the city of Detroit. And I don't know if it's been mentioned to you, but the non-residents that work in the city of Detroit, many of them are not forthcoming with their taxes due to the city of Detroit. And sadly, the city is not electronically connected like the state and the federal government is connected. So that if you're a tax preparer, does your taxes, and you work in the city and live outside, they must, by law, fill out the city forms, but they give them to you. They're not done electronically. And it's your choice to mail them with the money that you owe the city or throw it in the trash, which actually is illegal, as you know.
Well, you're right, but the problem is they don't have a follow-up mechanism to doing that. So you're right, Theo, because there is an electronic way to make that connection. By the way, let me go back before I go there. Let me go back. Yes, I was aware, by the way, that it's the North Jefferson plant that the Chrysler is doing the hiring.
Yes.
And it's going to be actually over 1,200 jobs. So
yes.
It's very exciting. So I wanted to.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, very exciting, no question. But with regard to people.
Heard it mentioned, so I wanted to call and find out if you had heard about it.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it whatever day. I think it was last week, one day last week, that they made that Chrysler made that announcement.
Yes.
And of course, they're excited because they see this as making an investment in the city, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question, and we're hoping that a lot of Detroiters will find their way back to a job. But with regard to voluntarily paying your city of Detroit taxes, I don't know what the number is, Theo, but I would be curious to see how many people are delinquent on paying their city of Detroit tax, non-residents, more specifically that are delinquent on paying their city of Detroit taxes.
Well, it's well over $150 million that's due the city.
Wow.
Yeah, and the state has the number of companies in the state, of course, because they're going to collect state taxes. So it's not that a company is a secret that is or is not collecting city taxes. And the city does have the apparatus to get it done. They have just not implemented it. And it's been available for quite a few years. I'm curious to know why they haven't implemented it.
Now, that's a great question, Theo, and I don't know the answer. I certainly don't know the answer to that, but $150 million is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of money. Thank you, and blessings to you. Thank you for your call, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
All right.
888-552-3595 if there is something on your mind. Jeff just sends me an article from the Birmingham Patch about the idea of streetcars on Woodward. Every time we actually have had this conversation with Stephen Henderson, Jeff, if you've noticed, people do call and mention when I was a kid. Because they were a big part, and in fact, that book that we did before the holidays, and I don't remember the name of it, there were a lot of pictures of streetcars in those photos as well. So they certainly have they're a grand part of Detroit history. Now, I wasn't privy to that Detroit, which would have been cool, by the way. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to be part of the Detroit that did engage in streetcars and move people along that way. I know my grandparents certainly were. My mom and dad certainly were. But this harkens back to the days of Hudson's downtown and, you know, those days that we long for, those nostalgic days that we long for in the city of Detroit, which seem to be far behind us. What we need to do is we need to start piecing together new memories, new parts of the present to help us mark new memories. And we need to do it quickly, because if we don't, we're going to leave ourselves further and further and further behind. Part of the revitalization of the city of Detroit involves investment. Some of it's going to be private. Some of it's going to be public. It's that public-private partnership you hear talked about. Well, this light rail is a reality, because there already is interest and commitment from the private sector to do this. We know that the public sector is willing to put up money, i.e. the federal government. Why aren't we moving forward? That's the real question. Why aren't we moving forward? Great question. I mean, it is a great question. Let me go back to the phones. I want to welcome Zach to First Shift. Zach, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Here's what I have to say. I mean, when it comes to Mitt Romney and the whole Bain Capital issue, I'm hoping that this election at least brings to light the fact that if the government had not bailed out the big automakers, that basically companies like Bain would have taken over the auto industry for pennies on the dollar. And basically, because I've worked for a couple of companies in my life who were taken over by private equity firms.
Right.
And you never see a raise. You always see pay cuts. That's basically what would have happened.
No, you're right. You're right. The idea is when capital venturers come in, they make you feel like you should be lucky to even have a job. In fact, we talked about this the other day, where somebody had recently bought a company, and the first thing the company did was start putting people's jobs online. You know that you know, so don't feel secure in your current position. Zach, you're right. Mitt Romney had great experience in this. That's why he was advocating for what he was advocating for. In fact, he was probably standing in line waiting for the autos to go bankrupt so he could come in and buy the industry, buy into the industry pennies on the dollar, something that he is quite adept at doing. It would have literally ruined not only the industry but the state of Michigan. So you're right. And Zach, thank you for your call. I certainly see and believe that we've already done it to some degree, but Mitt Romney is going to have to wear this in a national campaign. He's going to have to wear this around his neck, which doesn't bode well for him. It looks like he's the presumptive nominee. And again, we need to go through South Carolina, and if we get through that, maybe Florida. I don't think we're going to need Florida. In fact, by the time the end of February gets here and we have our primary here in Michigan, I think it's done and dead and over with. Bill in Ann Arbor, you will be up next. Stay right where you're at. We just need to get to a quick break here, and we'll come right to you. This is Tony Trupiano. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy, and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one? What a delight and privilege. This is going to be a good day. I can see it right now. It's like I was telling Junior there. As soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it. I'm burning this in CDs and I'm mailing it out to friends of mine. So.
You're the man.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to get ready to wrap things up. We've got some callers on the line. Very active emails today. Folks, I love that. Thank you so much. I really do love all the emails I'm getting today. But let's get these phones in. I want to welcome Bill in Ann Arbor, as promised, to First Shift. Bill, thanks for calling the show this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. I'll try and make it quick. I got two separate points. One is the Silicon Valley, San Jose, California, Santa Clara County, has a fantastic light rail system modeled after the Straßenbahn system in Germany that connects with the San Francisco Bay Area's rail system, and all the super commuters can commute for that whole 50-mile stretch very easily, inexpensively, and efficiently, and beat the traffic, and it's just outstanding. The other item is that just a little piece of good economic news a lot of people aren't really aware of. Mortgage industry is doing extremely well. City Mortgage in Ann Arbor is hiring like crazy. Bank of America and the other ones that actually are hiring people in the mortgage sector because some new refinancing options are going to be made available to people real soon where they can refinance their homes up to 150% of the value at the current low interest rates. And their rate, they're expecting it to boom even further. So, you know, it all starts there. When that starts happening, the money starts to flow, the economy starts to recover. So that... just thought I'd share a piece of positive news.
No, and I appreciate that, Bill. You know, it's interesting. I read an article just yesterday that Metro Detroit is one of the few real estate markets that's actually showing some positive signs right now, and I find that quite encouraging.
Yep. We're actually looking for another house ourselves, my wife and I, so it's looking good.
Well, good. Bill, thanks so much. Appreciate the good news. Appreciate you listening to the show. 888-552-3595. That was a nice call. Folks, if you're looking for a job, check out the mortgage industry. I know that they have great training programs, so I don't even necessarily think you need to have mortgage experience. But I also know that a lot of people in the mortgage industry find themselves out of work, so you may find this may be a way to find yourself back in. All right, let's go to Charles. And Charles joins us on First Shift. What's on your mind this morning, Charles? Pleasure to have you with us.
How you doing today? I don't want to seem like a conspiracy you know what I'm saying.
Theorist,
but anyway,
yes.
It seems to me that every time the city has something set to move it forward, you pull back. Like, for instance, we had Warren Evans fighting crime. The crime rate was dropping, so being fired on. The transit, you bring the light rail system in, you're going to bring investors in, right? But at this point in time, it seems that the property values are so low in Michigan that you don't want to bring the light rail in because what happens is the property rises automatically and investors can't get in and get their hand into the cake. But you give it time, they buy the property that they want to have, and then I guarantee you the light rail will start to come in. Like I said, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it seems like everything moves that direction.
No, and thanks for the call, Charles. I don't disagree with you. I certainly, especially as it comes to the city of Detroit. Every time we see progress, and you know, Sheriff Evans is a great example. He does one thing that someone thought was a little bit suspicious. Therefore, he's got it, and he was doing some real positive stuff here. I think that we've become a little too sensitive in that regard. And with regard to, you know, infrastructure, listen, the Illiches, the Carmanoses, the Dan Gilberts, the others that are buying into this light rail, that are buying real estate here in Detroit, that are taking buildings and fixing them up, they've got the money to do this. And they're trying to capitalize on a cheaper real estate market. Why shouldn't they? God bless them. They got money. Let them do it. I'm not going to stand in their way, but damn it. Let's start doing something. Let's start building something. Instead of talking about doing it, let's actually do it. Fair enough? Fair enough. All right, before we get out of here today, and I want to mention now, it's already the 10th of January, 11th of January, and you're saying to yourself, man, I've been meaning to call that number Tony gives out on starting a union in my workplace, and I just haven't done it yet. And I can't believe it's already January 11th, and I haven't done it. I was going to do it before the holidays, then I was going to do it right after the holidays. Well, do it today. All right, do it today. Let me give you the number again. It's 1-800-321-6406, 1-800-321-6406. Again, you can do this anonymously. Just say, I'm looking to get information on starting a union in my workplace. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's a safety issue. Maybe it's just workplace issues. Doesn't matter. Maybe it's a multitude of things. But you might be surprised, and by the way, the company might be surprised, how much better, how much more profitable they are when they work within a collective bargaining agreement. It really solidifies a lot of things for companies, makes it easier to do business in a lot of ways. And this does not have to be a negative process. And don't let somebody convince you otherwise. Again, 1-800-321-6406. And just tell them you need more information on starting a union in your workplace, and you might just be surprised how much better your life will be once that comes to fruition. That's simple. All right, as we get ready to wrap things up today, I want to remind you once again, the Wyandotte Democratic Club's meeting is this evening. They are, again, at 2306 4th Street at the Copeland Center. And they're at 4th Street at Mulberry. It's, again, a beautiful facility. And tonight's meeting, they will be having a discussion on health care and the need for expanded Medicare for All. It's also known as H.R. 676. It's John Conyers' bill. The conversation will be led by Bob Sisler, who is an H.R. 676 advocate, with excerpts from the movie, Michael Moore's movie Sicko, shown. So if you've got nothing going on and you're downriver, and go on and say hi to my friend Pam and Richard Miller, the president of the Wyandotte Dems, a great group of people, just wonderful, wonderful people, good friends. So I can, known these guys a long time, so I can happily say that with a smile on my face. And I do have a smile on my face. Wonderful, wonderful people. We have a really interesting show lined up for you tomorrow. And I've got to tell you that I'm really looking forward to having David Hecker on, the president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. As you know, the state has a surplus. And how much that surplus is, anywhere from $500,000 to over $1 billion. We know that education, both K-12 and higher ed, were drastically cut last year. Will any of that money find its way back into school budgets, or will the governor decide to put it away for a rainy day, or if he offers it, will it come with lots of conditions, which seems to be the way he likes to do things these days, makes everything conditional, and that's problematic at a lot of different levels. You stop and think, how many teachers can you hire with $1 billion? Or $500 million? Bring some teachers back into the classroom as class size continues to grow. Are we going to, you know, take care of that? So that will be a fascinating conversation. As you also know, there is going to be another attempt to recall Governor Schneider. We will talk with Bruce Felk, who is their spokesperson, the Michigan Rising spokesperson, tomorrow, to find out when they're going to do that and why they think this time it'll be different than the last. It's a legitimate question. So a lot of good stuff to look forward to. I want to thank everybody that listens to the show. Jeff and Anthony, thank you so much for everything that you do. Of course, off the air if you want to get me, tony@thetonyshow.org. Of course, if you go to thetonyshow.org, my office number is there. More than happy to talk with you if you want to give me a call. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. A couple of accidents out there have just popped up. 96 the Jefferies eastbound at West Grand Boulevard. Two lanes are blocked there. Expect some delays. Also, M59 eastbound before Rochester Road. We have an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is slow for almost a mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, increasing clouds today, a high near 47. Tonight, rain likely after 7 p.m., a low around 37. Then on Thursday, rain showers likely, but that will switch to snow as we move throughout the day. A high near 42, but that will drop overnight Thursday and into Friday. Expect lots of snow. Right now it's barren, 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com.